because Mr. Browning lives on the East Coast, and we bought the absolute latest flight today that we could heading east, but it is a little bit tighter schedule. So when he's done with his training, we have someone that will be running him to the airport, and then we will do the announcements and the recognition for the upcoming events, promotions, and things like that. But let me just tell you, I got to spend some time with this gentleman in Oklahoma and talk to him. And he's being recognized by the corporate office nationwide for what his team is doing. And I watched his team add about 35 new members to their team in about a 24-hour period. Like that's and the crazy thing, that's not an anomaly. That's like, oh, it was a once-in-a-lifetime lucky thing. I mean, his team is growing ridiculously fast. And I asked him if he'd come out to Utah and train us on what he does, how he does it, and how his team grows so fast, everything they're doing. So he's going to open up the books and just tell you guys everything. Hopefully you have something to take notes with, because I would trust a short pencil over a long memory any day. And the information that you hear today could be the difference that sets your family free financially. I mean, it really could make a difference. Just think about it. If your team was able to grow by 35 people before Monday, imagine what type of income that starts to produce when you're the leader that's teaching it and growing it. And so would you all give a warm welcome to our guest speaker again, Mr. Aaron Browning. Let's live it up. I got my money. Let's spend it.
How's everybody doing? Cool. Mic's good? Okay. So we can take the gloves off a little now, right? Because the first part was the briefing, so it's going to be a little fun. I'm ultra transparent, really blunt. So you guys, when you guys take notes throughout this, write down questions. There's no question that I don't think I'll answer. Pretty straightforward. But please, please write questions. Everyone always thinks of a good one. 30 minutes later, they forget, right? So is that cool? Can I get that commitment from you guys? Awesome. By the way, we've never done a Q&A at the end, but I wanted to make sure that I don't leave to fly out with someone having some perhaps mental block where they feel like, oh, he was able to do that because of X, and therefore they don't take action. So I want to make sure that we cover all of that before I leave today so that you guys have the tools, some tricks, some tips to really, really drastically affect your business. Also cool? Awesome. What I'm going to share is what I call powerful prospecting. Obviously, I've been trained and fortunate to have been trained, rather, by Mr. Brian Carruthers. So you're going to see a lot of mirroring and things like that. I'm a big believer of why reinvent the wheel. His stack is bigger than mine. His lifestyle with his family is better than mine. So I said, let's go ahead and copy it. Make sense? Cool. And so what I'm going to show you guys, it's a 5-step process. I believe in dumbing things down, as you saw earlier, on how I went ED in 74 days while running a multi-million dollar company. And I say that not to brag, but there are people in this room who are very, very busy, just like I was. I was still able to cut out 30 minutes a day, 5 to 7 days a week. Cool? Awesome. Okay. Legal Shield Stats, not trying to brag, but I want to make sure you guys understand why I'm up here, or at least why I think I'm up here, so that you take some of the information I'm giving you and you're like, hey, this guy actually has some substance behind it. We just hit our 12-month mark last week, so I'm going to still call it 12 months for the sake of this presentation. We are over, I think now at 844 associates. We're currently in 37 states and 4 Canadian provinces, which is still unbelievable when I say it. We've popped 5 executive directors, 2 of which are bronze ED in that 12-month period. Yeah, it's been amazing. Silver executive director, and the little caveat here is I don't believe in false advertising at all. I hate when it's done to me. I thought for sure I was going to have the $100,000 ring yesterday, but the numbers haven't updated. I was $250 short of it last night. Yeah. Mr. Hall has arrived. So it's income earner because I haven't earned that yet. Does that make sense? Cool. All right, step number 1, guys. Write this down. Peak interest. I'm lousy at spelling, so I misspelled that 1,000 times, so I put it up for you. P-I-Q-U-E, interest. I'm going to give you guys a couple scenarios of real-life stuff. I want to teach from things that I am doing, my team is doing, versus stuff I read about. And I believe when you're out prospecting, in fact, I saw Mr. Hall do this several times over the last 3 days, which is just awesome. Start off with a compliment. So I was at a shoe store several months ago buying shoes for my 4-year-old, and the sales guy at this, I think it was Famous Footwear, He was really good at his job. You guys ever come across someone who's really good at what they do? He was energetic. Like, I just felt comfortable. He was making recommendations. We didn't feel like we were bothering him. And so about 10 minutes of him helping us, I said, dude, man, you are really, really good at your job. And he goes, me? And this is powerful, guys, because we don't get compliments at work. Some of us don't get compliments at home. And so when I said that to him, you could see it. He was like, me? I said, yeah, man, like, you do a fantastic job. And he was like, man, thank you so much, right? So that's the way I pique interest. And my go-to question, guys, is right here, number two. When I share this, I share it all the time with teams across the country. People laugh at me. They're like, that's all you say? That is my go-to line I say every single day. Do you keep your income options open to side projects? That is it. And I know there's several variations. I heard Mr. Hall use something similar. Some people lead with membership. This is what I teach on our team, and this is why we're adding so many associates. We always lead with the associate part first. And I know there's several ways to do it, so take that for what it is. But that's my go-to line, guys. And then after that, you need to sit back and you need to let them answer. It's really, really important. Silence is so important when we're trying to sell something, when we're trying to transfer energy. Silence carries a lot of weight, and it's also really uncomfortable for most people. Would anyone in this room agree with that? Cool. Okay. So do you keep your income options open to side projects? So here's how it went. I said, dude, you are really good at your job. And yes, I say, dude, a lot of this, what it is. And he goes, wow, me? And I said, yeah. And he goes, man, thank you so much. And I said, look, man, when I think of my company, I think of someone like you. And he was like, really? I said, yeah. I said, quick question. Do you keep your income options open to side projects? He goes, bro, you have no idea. I have 3 side hustles. I don't see my kids. I can never get ahead. I'm always behind on bills. It was that easy, guys. Make sense? Cool. I want to talk quickly about over the phone, in person versus texting, because this is important. Most people don't like the phone, if we're being really honest. And I'm one of those too. It's a lot easier to send a text out or a voice text. It is very hard to transfer belief and tonality and energy over a text, right? So I'll give you guys an example. When I was talking to that guy, I was like, man, you do great service. You hear me say it over and over. Dude, quick question, man. You keep your income options open to side projects? I sped up. I slowed down. I transferred energy, right? If I sent that text to him and he was in a bad head place, he was having a rough day, he's reading it as, yo, do you keep your income options open to side projects? There's no energy. Make sense? So over the phone and in person are always number one and number two. Number one's in person. 2 is over the phone. 3 is texting. Now, I have recruited a lot of people over text because I was busy at my job that I didn't have time to get on the phone. I was in between appointments. I wasn't in a place. So don't skip texting just because I said that. If that's the last resort, that's the only place you can play in at that day, do it anyway. Good on that? Cool. Posture. You're going to hear me say this word a lot for the next hour. Posture is everything. The definition, just so we're on the same page, a particular way of dealing with or considering something, an approach or an attitude. Key word there, guys, is attitude. I'm new to this. I'm still a rookie at 12 months in, yet I believe in this opportunity. Like, I believe in it. I got to get better at this, but I'm offended when someone says no because I know the gravity of what that decision can mean on their lives as an individual and also their families. And that posturing comes out when I'm talking to people. Make sense? Cool. Any questions on the peak interest? Okay. I don't believe there's a lot of, I see a lot of presenters with multiple lines. I keep it really, really simple. That is my go-to, and it works every single time. One other thing on that, too. Of the 840-something people we brought over, the people I've personally recruited, I've recruited someone making as low as $19,000 a year, and the highest I know of, some people a little secretive, is $1.75 million. I use the same line on the 19,000 as I did on the millionaire. Everybody is looking to add income to their bottom line, right? And I promise you on this, guys, trust me. By the way, they're already pre-sold on that question because I just told you everyone's looking to add more money. Have you ever met someone who says, no, I'm good, no more money? They don't say it. They're pre-sold on the question you're about to ask. It doesn't get any better than that. Cool. Step 2, edify the tool. Don't be the tool. Don't be the tool. Use a third party to solve a problem. You know, I've had the privilege of hanging out with Mr. Damien over the last couple days. This guy and his sit-down techniques are deadly, right? So he is the tool on that. I don't mean that disrespectfully, but he's the tool for that presentation. When I came over, guys, my friends, family, colleagues, they knew me as what? Real estate. They did not know me as a legal professional. In my humble opinion, if I would have sat down with someone day one, for one, I don't even know what I would have said. I still don't know what I'm saying. They would have been like, dude, you're an agent, man. Like, this isn't coming off as authentic. So Mr. Carruthers leaned in and said, dude, leverage me. Leverage the videos. Leverage tools. Leverage events like this. Get people to a briefing, right? Let them be the tool so that you don't have to be the expert. When he said that to me, my life changed because it took a weight off my shoulders. I knew that I didn't have to get paralyzed and have to go into like a learning cocoon to go suck everything up so I would know what to say when they asked that, know how to explain that presentation. I just had to get really good at one thing, inviting them to check something out. Make sense? The guys, by the way, I was able to go to manager in 24 hours. Yeah. And it was only because I still don't know the acronym. Someone said PBL. I'd probably guess it, I think, at this point. But you're going to see me mess it up. You don't need to know everything. Get good at inviting people to check something out. Cool. So don't be the tool unless you have the full 15 to 30 minutes to do the full presentation. I see this mistake a lot. And what I mean by that is, let's say you're out, you're getting coffee at Starbucks, your kids are in the car, whatever. You literally have 3 minutes. You don't have enough time to do a full presentation. Everyone agree with that? Yet I see people trying. They're going to guess with one or two hot spots, hoping to pique interest. If you're wrong on those one or two, you just lost. You just lost. Whereas if they came to a briefing and saw the full presentation, they watched a full 20-minute video, they can pick for themselves what was important to them. By the way, as people, the only thing we care about is WIIFM. Anyone know what that is? What's in it for me? And you might get lucky and guess with those one or two, but if you don't get it right, you lost them. Cool. So my go-to on step two is, if I would you. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. I use it every single day. So that same example, let's go back to the guy at the shoe store. I said, dude, you do amazing work. Who, me? I said, yeah, man, you're phenomenal. He's like, wow, thank you. Listen, when I think of you, when I think of my company, I think of people like you. He's like, really? I said, quick question. Do you keep your income options open to side projects? He said, man, you have no idea. I do three hustles. I don't see my family. I said, listen, man, if I were to send you a short 20-minute video, would you take a look? What do you think he said? Cool. So that is the generic way to do it. I'm going to call it the vanilla way. If I would you. It works, so do it. If you know the person's pain point that you're talking to, edify that pain point. Have that video or a briefing or Super Saturday solve a problem in their life and they're yours forever. So watch this. He had just told me that guy does what? How many jobs? Three. So watch this. Same scenario. I'm gonna do it a little more advanced. Listen, man, I get it. I'm glad you're a big thinker. If I were to send you a short video when I watched it a year ago, changed my life because it offered time freedom and allowed me to hang out with my family again, would you carve out 20 minutes and look? What do you think he said? He was like, dude, I'm taking off work now. He was begging me for the video. It changed the whole relationship, guys. Now, don't get too bogged down on this. If you don't know enough about the person, like he met someone at a gas station the other day, he probably doesn't know his pain points, right? Although he might. You probably don't. Still say, if I would you. It works. But if you know the person, you know where their struggles are, lead with that, solving the problem, and everything changes. Cool? Awesome. Tie down technique. This is what if I would you. We call it neuro-linguistic programming, not to geek out, but we use it a lot in real estate. And this is how sales is a conversation. It's not me up here teaching Mr. Hall. Mr. Hall, you got to go buy this, and Mr. Hall doesn't talk. That's not a conversation. We're not in relationship. But yet if I'm asking him questions, do you keep your income options open to side projects? I can't go forward with that conversation until he does what? Answers. We're in a relationship, guys. We're having a conversation. He's also giving me permission to go to the next step. That makes sense? Cool. Friends or family knew me as a real estate agent, not legal associate, which is huge. This allowed me, by the way, to cut out slivers of time. This is how I solved the 30-minute-a-day problem. I did not have time to go do a face-to-face at this point in my career. I didn't have time to go do a coffee meeting. I would have loved to. I think they're very, very effective. But I had to cut out slivers in between meeting clients, in between going to a home inspection. And the only way it allowed me to do it was using this technique where I could spend about 3 or 4 minutes with someone on the phone or in person, get a tool in front of them, and then circle back later. Does that make sense? Step three, set expectations. This is massive, guys. This is where it starts to get a little uncomfortable. So if you have questions on this, write them down because I want to make sure we really go through this at a high level. So I did all of the role play we just did. If I were to send you a video that changed my life a year ago because it offered time, freedom, and I was able to hang out with my kids more, would you watch it? He said yes. I said, awesome. What time today can you carve out 20 minutes to watch it? I want you guys to pick up our key language I'm using, okay? I hear this a lot. Cool, when can you watch it? If you say that to a real estate agent, I hear this answer all the time, next week. I'm on vacation next week. Christmas. I'll have downtime at Christmas. If you ask a vague question, guess what you get? I ruined that, didn't I? You get a vague answer. Thank you for paying attention, though. So lead the prospect to where you want to go. I want to close people today. I want to get them on the team so I can get them rank advanced tomorrow, not wait a week. So I say, when today can you carve out 20 minutes to watch it? 9 out of 10 are going to say an answer like this. What time are we? We're 11:30? 9 out of 10 are going to say tonight. And most agents in this room, guys, and on my team, they're okay with that. So they send the video out. They set it by their phone from 7 to 9 o'clock waiting for it to ring. Why isn't the app updating? Like, wait, where is it? What's going on, right? We all do it. Don't do that. Get a really concrete answer. So what time today can you carve out 20 minutes? They say tonight. Awesome. What time tonight? Watch this. Without fail, and someone's going to do it today, and they're going to share this. I'm going to love it. They're going to go like this. I have to do that. Zarn. We also have that. It probably won't be until like 8:45. By the way, guys, that is gold. Because they just went through their whole schedule of things that could come up to block them from watching it. So they say 8:45. The video is how long? Okay, I give them a little bit of cushion. So I say, awesome, 8:45 works for me. I'm going to set a reminder on my calendar to call you at 8:45. Is that okay? What do you think they say? Cool. So two things happen. One is I know the concrete time to follow up. More importantly, guys, it added accountability to my prospect to follow through with what they said they were going to do. This is where everything changed. Everyone get that? When they tell you they're going to watch it, guys, they're more likely to watch it. Yes? Sorry, I lied. 9:15. Yeah, thank you. I had my times. Yeah. Making sure he's paying attention. He raised his hand mid-bite of Dorito, by the way. But yes, 30 minutes later, guys. Once again, the hardest technique here is when they give you a vanilla answer is to peel the onion back and ask what time tonight, what time tomorrow morning. You have to get this. Cool? Okay. Follow up to a three-way call. This is something I think our organization, my team, does probably better than anybody. And I know it's a strong statement, not here to hurt feelings, but we do a lot of three-way calls. This is something that I think Brian Carruthers does better than anybody in our company, at least that I've met. This is the linchpin for duplication. The linchpin for duplication, guys. I discovered this and he taught me, it changed my life. Because I thought I was good at sales and I was trying to close everyone myself. And when you're sitting in front of someone, even if you're a Dave Hall who is just skilled and gifted, if that person he's trying to close himself is not as gifted as Mr. Hall, and you guys think that happens? Of course it happens. I'm not as good as Mr. Hall. They're in their subconscious saying, I'm going to sign on. It makes sense. But oh my gosh, I cannot do that presentation he just did for me. There's no way. I can't do it. And therefore, that day they sign on, we just stunted their growth. Right? We got to have three-way calls. Only variance with that sometimes would be in a live sit-down. I know he doesn't like that too. I still do it. We're doing that. I'll still bring in a three-way expert. And sometimes it's hard because you're about to do the close. Sometimes it's just so easy. They see it. They get it. I still will slow down just a quick second. If I can't get the expert on the phone, I'm still closing them. Don't wait until you do it. But just know it's important. Make sense? Cool. So I now have that follow-up call set for what time tonight? 9:15. So this is how you're able to do three ways and also be respectful of your leadership team. I personally recommend you have three people on a text thread who can run three-way calls for you. It is not, and once again, this is just how I do it. It's not fair if I only go to Dave Hall saying, I got a three-way. Include other people in this. You're more likely to get coverage. He has a life. He has a team he's running and also a family. Make sense? And the cool part, when you know the time, it's so much easier to schedule. So I'll do a three-way text. For me, I don't really have an upline other than Mr. Carruthers. It's some sideline people. If you build good culture, and I know the culture in this room, guys, it's unreal. It could be someone sideline. It could be someone in a different leg. But make sure you have support. Send that group text out to at least three and say, I got a call at 9:15. Who's available? Somebody's going to answer. The reason I discovered do a group text is if I send Dave a text, you a text, separate, he doesn't write back for an hour. He says, I got it 2 hours later. An hour later, he says he got it. Now I'm going to who wrote it first. I'm trying to coordinate. Take that step out. Do it in a group so they all know. Cool on that? Awesome. Pet peeve of mine, we're running a business, guys. This has the potential to be a multi-million dollar business for all of us in this room. Treat it as such. If you tell someone you're calling them at 9:15, call them at 9:15. This sets the tone for the entire professional relationship going forward. And I see this happen a lot. They'll say 9:15 and they call it 10:30. Right? And I'll be honest with you. This happened to me, and this is why I teach this. I was doing my real estate team before I folded it. I mean, when I say I was running around, my head cut off. It was 16, 17-hour days every day. I had a call at 9:15 for this big prospect I wanted, and I knew I was going to get him. Like, I just knew it. I didn't set a reminder. If it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. I'm sure you guys have heard that. It's 12:15 that same day. I have a sandwich in my mouth in my office, and I'm like, oh, shoot. I forgot to call Mark. Mark is also a really successful agent who has a very tight schedule. He wasn't blowing me off. I could not reach him. I still have not reached him. Never signed him. And I know for a fact I would have signed him if I would have done what I said I was going to do. He actually watched the video, too, and I'm still chasing this guy months later. Call when you say you're going to call. Three questions for the call. I normally don't teach this, but I think it's a really cool step for the people doing a three-way call. So any leadership in this room, any aspiring leaders that want to run a big team, you got to embrace a three-way call. I only ask three questions, guys. I believe in simplicity. Question number one is, so if I call that person at 9:15, Mr. Hall is my three-way expert. He's on call. Always call the prospect first because I don't want to waste Mr. Hall's time away from his family at night if I can't reach my prospect. Is that fair? Cool. So I call my prospect. first question I say, you know, obviously I'll chit-chat, hey, how's everything going? He says, good. I say, awesome. Were you able to watch the video? There's only two answers, yes or no. Sometimes, even with all the steps I say, things get in the way. It's called life, right? So they'll say, no, I wasn't able to. I got delayed. Burnt dinner. I had to pick up the kid. He, you know, his child was sick. I'll say, no worries. Watch this. No worries. You obviously blocked 9:15 because we're on the phone right now. Take 20 minutes right now that you saved for me, and I'll call you back 20 minutes from now. I hang up the phone. I didn't ask them when tomorrow, when tonight can you watch it. I got them on the phone. They would not have answered that phone call if they didn't have time right now. Make sense? Cool. In that example where they say no, I'm then now going to text Mr. Hall immediately. I want to be respectful of him. I want him to be hungry for my three-way calls. It's a good little trick, by the way. I'm going to text him. I'm so sorry it got delayed. Are you available in 20 minutes? No, I can't, man. I have another three-way. I go back to the three-way text. I let one of these two answer. But I notify him in real time. As a leader who does a lot of calls, we know things come up, and sometimes the people don't even answer the phone, right? That happened to anyone else? As leadership, we're not mad at that. It happens to us, too. What I don't like is when I miss dinner with my family because I was hanging out waiting for a call, and all of a sudden 2 hours go by and I never heard from my associate. Make sense? Cool. That happens a lot, guys. Second question. So let's say they watched the video. By the way, let me go back to that. They say they didn't watch the video. I see this mistake a lot, too. The associate now tries to be the video on the phone. Leverage the tool, guys. It's hard to sell something over the phone. So once again, use that script. Will you block the time for me because we're on the phone? Let me go back and watch the video. I'll circle back in 20 minutes. Don't try to be the video. Okay, so now let's take the same scenario. This time they watched it. So, hey, were you able to watch the video? Yes, I was. Awesome. Question two. What did you like best? This is very, very simple, guys, and this is another mistake I see every single day. People will say, cool, what'd you think? When you ask a question like that, as people, we're naturally defensive, posturing automatically. They're going to say, even if they loved it, it's okay. I don't know. It's all right. They're going to come up with a reason of why they don't want to do it. Does that happen to anyone? When you ask a positive question, you get a positive answer every single time. This happened about 45 days ago. I called this guy. I don't remember where I met him. He was super nice. By the way, I won't recruit anyone I don't like because I don't want to hang out with him. This guy was cool. I thought he was going to be a good fit. I get him on the phone. I don't know what happened. I say, hey, man, were you able to watch the video? He said, I watched it. Sorry. He goes, yeah, I watched it. I was like, uh-oh. I said, awesome, man. What'd you like? You guys hear my posture? I'm going to lead him to somewhere positive. He goes, residual. Like, this dude did not want to talk to me. 10 minutes later, he's an associate on my team. Because I asked a positive question, I got a positive answer. When you start somewhere positive, I can handle anything. If I would have started, what'd you think? You guys can already tell by his tonality, he's ripping me apart. That conversation's going nowhere. Would make sense? Cool. Question three. So they're going to say what they like best. It's usually three or four things. Residual, time, freedom. Man, I could have used the membership yesterday. It's the same answers we get all the time. You're going to say, I believe in agreeing massively, get into relationship. I'll say, awesome, Mr. Hall. Well, I won't say Mr. Hall. I'll say, awesome, Dave. You know, I had the same feeling, man. The residual thing really stood out to me, too. We're in a relationship. Question three. What questions do you have for me based on what you saw? Everybody has a question. You'll sometimes hear where they really have to think about it because maybe they didn't pay attention fully, but they're going to come up with something, and that's where silence works. They don't want to let you down because they set the appointment, so they're going to answer something. I don't get how residual works. Is this a network marketing company, right? You hear the same several answers. My go-to then is, oh my gosh, I had a similar question a year ago when I heard this. In fact, I want you to hear the same answer I heard a year ago that changed everything. Let me see real quick if I can get my mentor, Mr. Hall, on the phone. Hang on 1 second. Okay? A couple things happened. I did not ask permission. Everyone pick up on that? If I'm talking to Damien, he's my friend, he does not want to talk to Mr. Hall. He doesn't. He might even know he's probably going to get sold. Or it's just a stranger. I don't know him. Why would I want to talk to him? So I don't ask. So this technique, and this is the way the corporate teaches, it takes posturing. I had to go through that quickly. I had to get to it. I want to see if I can introduce you to somebody. He's really busy. Hang on 1 second. I'm going as fast as I can. I merge over, and I get the expert on the phone. Everyone get that part? Okay. Let me regress for 1 second. So when I met Mr. Crothers a year ago last week, people have heard Mr. Crothers speak, right? Like, he's really intense. So I say met him. So he had been on stage 45 minutes like I just did. We circled up afterward. We're at his country club. He comes over to me, and I knew him from stage. I don't know him from any other way. So we're not friends by any stretch at this point. And he leans over, and he goes, smart people don't do well here. I was like, I know I'm not Mensa, but I think I'm fairly intelligent. Like, who is this dude? He'd kill me for saying that. And then he leans over and says it again. Smart people don't always do well here. And I was like, this son of a gun. Like, he really just said that. I know he's a big shot, but come on, man. And he goes, you want me to elaborate? And I said, yes, please. And he goes, I'll never forget it. And he goes, they don't always do well here because they come over, they follow the model, they have success, and then they change it. They get cute. They want to put their spin on it, their color on it. They want to say, my database is different. Where I went to school is different. My market is different. I didn't want him to win right then because I was really offended, full transparency. So I said, yeah, cool. I called my wife that day. By the way, I drove an hour and a half for that meeting without knowing who he was. That's the importance of having an open mind. So I applaud everyone in this room that drove 5 hours, 8 hours. That is awesome. Yeah. I got in the car. I called my wife. And I said this. I won't tell you what I said. Said this, but he's right. And she was like, what? And I was like, this has been my MO my entire professional career. I copy something that works. I have massive success, and then I change it, and I fail. But the kicker was, for me, I labeled it failing forward, so it felt okay. It felt sexy to me. Why? If you have a model, why change it? I made a commitment to my wife and my family that night, that Tuesday night, literally a year and a week ago, that I was not going to change this. Right? I got goosebumps all going down. It was powerful, and that's part of what we built. So I say that to say we did make a change, but I ran it by Mr. Carruthers first. There was a day several months ago, 6 months ago now, where we had, I don't even know, man. I had to guess 21 three-way calls set up for me personally for the team in one day, showing how many we're doing. By the way, as a leader, if you're, I know how my business is doing based on the number of three-way calls I have scheduled. Like, I don't have any today. Not a good day, most likely on the books tomorrow, unless some leaders really stepped up, right? It's a really good litmus test for where your organization's going. So we had 21, let's use 21. We had 21 set up. I had three of them that came to fruition that day. And I know we have fallout, 100%. People didn't watch it. They didn't answer the phone. Associate goofed up. We're human. I get it. Not really, but whatever. I get the first two. So we had 3 out of 21. I was not happy with those numbers. I'm trying to build something massive. So I was calling through the team saying, what happened? And they said, you know, I had them on the phone. I was like, oh, my gosh, why didn't I get on the phone? And they said, I asked what questions you had. I followed your script. They said this, and I said, here's how it goes. Oh, my gosh, I had a similar question. In fact, I'm going to see if I can get my friend, my bro, Dave Hall, on the phone. He's going to answer some questions. He's the real deal. And I was like, oh, no, you didn't. Right? And I'm exaggerating a little bit for emphasis, but that's how it came out. We role-played it perfect, but when they got on stage to go do it, it came out much different. And because of that, they said, no, I'm good. I just want to talk to Dave Hall. You just answer my question. I want to talk to your friend. They weren't skilled and equipped enough to do it. It's also hard to close your own friends. That makes sense? Yeah. So this was huge for me. This is a turning point in our organization. Hopefully leaders don't get mad I teach it, but I had to change it. I wanted to get more three-way calls, and I believe most people don't have the posture early on to be able to deliver it the way that company unfortunately teaches it. That does work though. Everyone at this front row is doing it that way with massive success. They have posture. Cool? So the way we started to do it was, it's a little bit sneaky, but it works. Bear with me. So I have Mr. Hall, I have Dave on the call. Dave, what did you like best? He says residual. I said, awesome, man, me too. What questions do you have based on what you saw? Well, how's the residual work? Like, how do the payouts work? Dude, I had a similar, by the way, I'm only talking to my prospect as dude, bro, that sort of thing. I said, man, I had a similar question a year ago when I saw it. And no way. Hang on 1 second. I push mute. I merge over to Damien. I say, Damien, I got Mr. Hall on the phone. He's a real estate guy. He's this. I then merge back over. I say, Dave, are you there? Dave's like, huh? Yeah. Like, it feels a little weird, right? He has no idea why I put him on hold. I say, Mr. Damien, are you there? He says, yes, sir. I say, oh, my gosh. And now I do the edification here. So I did this. Literally, I got him on the phone. I say, oh, my gosh, you're not even going to believe this. Hang on 1 second. It took them having to ask a question of, do you mind, can I go do this, and messing that fumble up. Everybody can say, oh, my gosh, hang on 1 second. That makes sense? I swear to you guys, it works. We don't lose three-way calls anymore, other than the prospect not answering the phone or not watching the video. I cannot tell you the last time someone could not get them on the phone with an expert. Okay, hopefully that helps. And Brian did approve it. Merge the call. So you merge the call. Two ways to do that. We covered that. Edify the expert, guys. Write down edify. Circle, star it. This is something our company has to get better at teaching as well. I know there's stuff out there, but this needs to be something we talk about daily. Edification is everything. This is how, simple definition, you're building someone up in front of someone else. Make sense? So if I'm edifying, by the way, my shortcuts for this, write this down too. So edify, the simple formula for this is 3 facts and 1 emotion. I can edify anyone in this room if I know 3 facts and I know 1 emotion. So Mr. Hall, if I was talking to my prospect, oh my gosh, you have to meet this entrepreneur named Mr. Hall. This guy is the number one guy in the company for the state of Utah. He knows 100% of the facts. He has one of the fastest organizations in the entire country. But the best part about Mr. Hall, he has a willingness to help others succeed like he did. Hang on 1 second. 3 facts and an emotion. By the way, that was not rehearsed. Just made it up because I have a formula. Everyone get that? Cool. This is another one that we can practice all day, and I know you guys do it fast starts. All of a sudden, you get on stage, and it changes. We get nervous. I've been there. It goes something like that. I had one the other day, by the way, a new associate. He was talking to his friend. He said, "Hey, Mark, I want you to meet my bro, Aaron." I said, "Oh." So he literally took us. We were even. Now his friend went up and his bro, Aaron, went down. Now I'm having to fight this and recover this all day long. Mr. Carruthers uses the Donald Trump analogy all the time. If I was trying to get Donald to join our organization and Mr. Carruthers is the expert, Donnie, you got to meet my mentor, Mr. Carruthers. We went from Donnie being number one to Donnie being down here, right? That's the power of edification. But the thing, too, that we don't talk a lot about, I know we're starting to a fast start, is you can de-edify by saying bro, saying my buddy, my friend. You just say one emotion or one fact. It's not enough, guys. You got to build it up. The cool part about doing it the way the company teaches the three-way is you edify before the expert's there, so it's not quite as awkward. With my way, you have to edify in front of them, so make sure you're comfortable doing that, and your expert's also going to hear it, so make sure you know what you're doing, but that's really the only catch with that, doing it the second way. Okay. This is another big one. So if we're on the phone doing this three-way, a lot of people like to talk. A lot of people aren't used to silence, like we talked about a lot today, me included. So it's one thing if I'm using the silence technique. When Mr. Hall's using it on my prospect Damien, it gets a little uncomfortable. So what I discovered was once you edify and you turn it over, push mute. Because our job as the associate merging the call is not to talk again until the three-way expert asks us to. The minute I talk over Mr. Hall, I just said I was the expert and he is not. You have to understand this, guys. And I hear it all the time. I have talk about direct, this guy's just like Mr. Carruthers. I have a bronze ED on my team where one of his team members on a three-way talks over after he edified. He says, "Mr. Hall, it sounds like you got it from here. I wish you the best, man. Have a good day." Hangs up. I'm trying to get him off that so it's not quite as severe. But I was like, call me. It's so hard to recover from that. It is so hard. And this is a hard one to teach. I still push mute when I'm doing it with my sideline or Mr. Carruthers. Because I'll find myself, oh, my gosh, make sure you meant. And it's our mute. I save myself, right? So if you find yourself talking, push mute. You can talk all you want. Sometimes, and Mr. Carruthers and I, we wish we had this recorded. You and I were talking about this the other day on the trip. We had one he was doing for me a couple weeks ago where my prospect kept asking me questions, even though he was talking to Mr. Carruthers. I had that bad boy on mute, even though I wanted to talk, and Mr. Carruthers answered every one. He's the expert. Let him do it. Make sense? Cool. Step four, take the application. This is the most important part, and this is also where I think the biggest area of improvement for our company is. So at the end of the three-way call, this is how we do it on our team, and I think other teams are doing it too. It's the best clothesline I've ever heard. By the way, if anyone wants a copy of this, we can email it. I think you guys can. Hopefully I didn't overpromise. So thanks. So at the end of that call, I answer the questions for Damien and his prospect, Dave. I'm going to say to Dave, did I answer all your questions? He said, "Yeah, man, thank you so much." "Listen, I have a quick question for you." He says, "Sure, go ahead." Have you already filled out the application with Damien, or is that what you guys are doing now? Guys, I know the answer. I wouldn't be on the call if he did it. 99.9999, I could go all day, percent. They say, "No, Aaron, I haven't. I guess we're doing that right now." It works. So if you're not using that, guys, I'm telling you, write it down. I'll say it again real quick. So quick question for you. They engage back. "Sure, go ahead. You've been helpful. Have you already done the application with Damien, or is that what you guys are going to do now?" Not later, not tomorrow, not tonight. You're going to do now. 9 out of 10 guys are saying yes. I promise you. It's deadly. It just works. So now as the leader on this call, I'm saying, "Awesome. I'm really looking forward to having you on our team, Dave." Damien, by the way, Dave, you could not have asked for what we call him a sponsor. He is a leader in our company. He is crushing it. He is going to hold your hand, as will I. Damien, do me a huge favor. Can you walk him through the application process right now? Damien says what? He's excited. He says what? "Yes, my team just grew." He's stoked. He's through the roof. I hang up the phone so they can go on. I can go help someone else. And here's what happens. "Listen, I'm going to send you over the link. If you have any questions, call me back." Click. I see it happen every day. You have a live one on the phone. That person didn't just lie to me, didn't just lie to Damien. They want to come on as a member, as an associate, whatever the conversation was, right? Yet, guess what gets in the way? Life, kids, family, job, everything else. The longer you take from the time I do that close to them coming on, it drops significantly in the amount of conversion. Significantly. If I had to guess, I would say 50%+. And it's just because life got in the way. Make sense? Yes. Is this mine, by the way?
Yeah, I think mine.
You sure? I know we hung out a lot, but it's not yellow.
This is just fabulous training that you guys are getting. I want to throw one little tiny thing on the end of that when you invite them to join the team.
Yep.
So if you're the prospect and ask you,
already done the application with Mr. Schieber. We're about to do that right now. You say, we're going to do it right now. Wonderful. And if you're the host, the expert on the three-way phone call, that he's so heavily edified, they're like, oh my gosh, this is the grand truth on it. Then I turn back to Mr. Schieber and I say, Mr. Schieber, would you be sure to get Aaron all of my contact information as soon as his website is set up? In other words, sometimes if you leave him hanging there, I get off, the expert gets off the phone, and then he backs out. He wiggles out. But we're leaving that carrot hanging out there that says, you don't know mine, you know his name and number, but this is the Upline Millionaire Club member. Yeah. If you want my contact information, you will get it after you filled it out. And I say, I know Mr. Schieber's going to take great care of you, but his phone may be busy someday, and I want you to know that I personally have an invested financial interest in your success. Call me for anything you need. And all of a sudden, the guest is like, whoa, he just gave me his personal number. I didn't just give it to you. I gave Mr. Schieber permission to give it to you, but only after you've hit the submit button.
Love it. Love it. Good stuff. So a couple limiting beliefs. Well, I'm in the car. I was driving. I couldn't do it. If you do all the steps prior to step 5, 1 through 4, you know the time you're calling. Pull over at 9:15. Have your kids in another room. Step out. And I get life. Yeah. It doesn't always work out perfect. But that's why this thing is scalable, guys. We built it in a way that it works. You know where you are. I normally, the way we teach this on our team, and you have to trust me on this, I will pull over. If I'm at hopefully I'm at home. I'm somewhere. I have a computer or a laptop or my phone. I'm going to go to my site. If I'm Damien on this example, I'm going to pull up the application on abrowning.wearelegalshield.com. As an associate, I'm going to ask him the questions as if I'm filling it out for him. This is how I take control and ownership, and I know it is done correctly, and I get it done right now. When you get good at this, guys, it really takes less than 5 minutes. I'm not making that up when I say it. You go right through it. So often, guys, I've seen people just send a link over, send a checkout card, and you might have that false sense of belief that it's working because it's working for you right now. You're going to come across somebody who got busy and didn't do it. Right? And I see a lot of heads nodding because it's probably already happened. It's happened to me, too. And you chase that person forever. It's no fun. Take the application. Other pushbacks I get on this is I get this all the time. What do you do to get the Social Security number? I asked for it. I'm serious. I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. It's posture. I won't say his name because it's going to be recorded. A very, very close friend. Let's just call him family, who's crushing it. He is struggling taking the application. I'm a big role play guy, coaching guy. And I'm like, wow, how are you getting stuck on this? And it comes out like this. Next question, a little personal, but if you don't mind, can I have your Social Security number? I'm like, come on, man, it doesn't work. I wouldn't give it to you either. Versus, what's the best address for you? Do. Awesome, best social. I don't know why I say best, but I do. And they say it. The other question I get is, what about credit card? No one gives a credit card. I'm like, oh my gosh, yes they do. I say, what's the best credit card number? And people are like, do you really? And so I'll tape it where I do a live one, and they'll see. I had a call the other day from that same gentleman who's struggling with social. And he had someone on the phone. So I jumped back on a three-way because they didn't want to give a credit card. And it was this guy, and I said, what's the hang-up? And I was being respectful. I wasn't, like, super rude like I am now. And he said, I don't know. I just don't feel comfortable. I said, man, you ever ordered a pizza? He said, yeah, 2 nights ago, Domino's. I said, you gave some 16-year-old kid you never met your credit card number. Come on. He was like, man, I never thought about it like that. I said, cool, what's the best number? And we took the number. Just ask for it. But it does come out in posturing, guys. It really, really does. If you're weak on how you ask for something, they're not going to give it to you. It feels uncomfortable. Everyone agree? Yeah.
You might also add, if you had a good identity theft program, you wouldn't be worried about this.
True. Okay, so that's my 5-step process, guys. That is literally how I went ED in 74 days and how we've duplicated it now 5 times. By the way, there are a lot of other new associates coming on, not on our team yet, who are popping in like 2 weeks, 6 weeks. So don't use my 74 days as your ceiling of achievement. I'm telling you that right now. It took me that long because I was doing the other job. There are other people that have a lot more time freedom than I did when I did it. But this is how I did this, literally doing 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. And I was very consistent. Has anyone heard the Brian Carruthers popcorn analogy? Okay, cool. So I won't bore you with it. But it's the truth, guys. I see associates, they'll say, Monday is my Legal Shield day. I advise against it. It's not consistent. It's not top of mind when you're out in the field meeting someone. Even if it's 5 minutes every day, I don't care what the number is, but commit to it. Treat this like a $500,000 franchise and watch how differently you behave. Cool? Awesome. Okay, so that's that. So congratulations, you have a new associate. You see the finish line? Your work is done. A lot of people fall into this trap, guys, me included. I got a new one. I was on to the next one. I wanted to go, right? I wanted to run. Not the case. You're now at the starting gate. This is where the fun begins. This is where they just gave you permission, as Brian says, to re-recruit them. Now I got to get them so indoctrinated into what we're building, into our onboarding, our fast start, everything that we do, our culture, all starts here. It is not you turn your back, and I know I'm not saying you ever turn your back on someone, and you go on to the next. You have to handhold this, and you got to get this part right. Otherwise, you have no duplication in your organization. Is that fair? Cool. Here's how we onboard. Like I said, there's some amazing leaders in this room that I'm sure do it differently. If your leadership team up here is telling you to do it a different way, do it differently. I am not here to say this way is better. I want to be clear on that. Is that cool? Okay. This is what we do, and it works. So I'm the only person on our 840-something team that's full-time. Everyone else is part-time. So I believe in making systems that allow good people become extraordinary. And you can't do it without systems. If I had to have every single person who's part-time go on board, meet with them face-to-face, do this, take them to this website, show them that video, be that video, it doesn't work. It's really hard to scale that. But when I can direct someone someplace and then hold it accountable, it frees up a lot of time. Very first step, we send to connect.legalshield.com/start start right away. So if I'm on the phone, I just onboarded Damien. I set high expectations, guys. I want to run. By the way, write this down. The associate filling, this is for associate, not membership, in full transparency. The associate signing that application right now with me on the phone is more in love with the opportunity today than they are tomorrow unless they have success. I call it the love-o-meter. It literally is flowing straight down from the time they sign the application unless they get into action. Because if they go 3 days without doing anything, up here starts to creep. We all have mindset issues. A loved one, a parent, a sibling, a neighbor says, what are you doing? What's going on? Versus us getting them into action right away, they're bulletproof, guys. They walk on water and glow in the dark. Seriously. Make sense? Cool. So we send them there right away. So if I'm on the phone, Dave, I'm going to say, Dave, what are you doing in the next 2 hours? I don't know, man. I got to do this. I got to do that. I need you to block 30 minutes for me in the next 2 hours. Can you commit to that? Yeah, I'd have to move something around, but I can do it. Guys, they're excited to be a member. Otherwise, to associate. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed on. Use that. I don't say, when in the next week can you give me 30 minutes? When in the next 2 hours can you give me 30 minutes of your time? 9 out of 10, we'll do it. You guys trust me on that? Cool. So then I send them over to connect.legalshield.com/start, whatever it is. I'm going to tell them to go there. I'm going to tell them to watch the video and follow the action steps. I believe there's 5. They added a new one the other day, maybe 6. And I want them to get it done inside of 2 hours. This is how you make them bulletproof. You have Darnell's video, which is like an inoculation where it helps them handle the power of the no. So they don't go out to a friend, family member, and they're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing, right? So I want them to go there before they talk to anyone. This is one of the only times you're going to see me slow down to speed up. That's another really good quote, by the way. You got to slow down to speed up in certain aspects of your business. I want to make them bulletproof so they know what to do before they go waste it on their top 3 to 5, best possibilities. Okay? Awesome. So from there, the sponsor, the person signing on the new associate, they have to do 3 welcome calls that same day. And we are adamant about this. We preach it. Are we perfect? No. But man, oh man, do we preach this. Every team call, every training call, that's what we're talking about. And so the way that works is they're going to do an upline call with your director or senior director. I know you guys have much bigger teams than I do. Someone upline, ideally 2 of them. If you're brand new, you don't have upline, go sideline. Just don't use that as a limiting belief. Just figure it out. But get 2 people ranking higher than you, ideally, to get on a quick call. And then the third call, which is awesome, is what we call a sideline call. And I base this off 3 criteria. Someone that has a similar profession. So if I'm talking to a teacher, I want to get them to talk to another teacher. A nurse, another nurse. A real estate agent, another agent, right? A lot of times that is not in the same leg, at least in mine. So if you build good culture like you guys have in this room, it might be sideways, sideline. If you help them, they're going to help you. Just don't come out and always ask with your hands open, but also give back, right? That's fair. This is huge, guys. We're anchoring them into Mr. Hall's example where he said, I'm going to give you my info once you sign on. This takes that times 100. They just met 2 other people outside of me, and they're like, man, this thing's big. Man, Mr. Hall, that was a real deal. Mr. Sheba, oh my gosh. And now they just talk to someone who's a similar career? Guys, oh my gosh, if she can do it and she's a nurse, I can do it too. If she can do it and she's a policeman, I can do it too. Everyone get that? Cool. Leadership in the room, if your team's not doing it and this is important to you, pull your report every morning of new associates and you go do it yourself. It's not nearly as, I'm not going to say it, It's a little bit harder when they don't edify you first, but don't wait for your associate to do it every single time. It's a mistake. Full disclosure again, I was not doing this early on. I'm a big believer. You ask for something, you have no chance of getting something you don't ask for. Anyone else agree? I sent Darnell Self, I shouldn't say Darnell, Mr. Self, a text a couple months ago. This is in July. He lives near me about an hour. And I said, hey, man, I got a boat. Would you like to go out on the boat all day? He wrote back an hour later and said, yes. I was like, huh? I didn't think he was going to say yes. So he did. So I used that time to pick his brain. And we're talking about three-way calls. And he goes, Aaron, tell me about them. Are you guys doing them? I said, no, sir. Do I need to be? And he goes, yes. I said, we were having an honest conversation. I said, it's not sexy to me. I don't get it. Like, why do it? And he said, really easy. It anchors people in, like the example I just gave you, which we all agree with. And he could tell I was like, I, that's cool, whatever. And he was like, can I give you a bigger reason? I said, please, man, I need this. And he said, it allows me as a leader of my organization to identify talent buried below in 2 minutes or less. I had goosebumps, man. I was like, oh, tell me more. And so we started talking. And he goes, really simple. So if I'm an upline senior director, ED, doesn't matter what the title is, my job as a leader is to identify talent so that the person that brought them over, their ceiling of achievement, whether good or bad, isn't a ceiling on the new prospect. Everyone get that? A little bit confusing. Right? Okay. And so two simple questions. They're going to edify me on the phone. I'm going to say, Dave, why Legal Shield? Two answers. My boy Damien was doing it. I don't know, man. I'm friends with him. I got nothing else to do. I thought I may as well do it. Okay, that's cool. No right or wrong answer. Or he says, I'm working two jobs. I'm not making ends meet. I have big freaking dreams, and I'm tired of building for someone else. Which one do you think is going to run? Off one question. Second question, what's your income goal this year off Legal Shield alone? Don't be afraid to ask income goals, guys. We got to talk about this. It's important. I'm happy, and I'm not making fun of anyone in this room. These are your goals. Everyone has their own personal goals. Someone says $25 a month. That's cool, man. That's your right. That's your prerogative. Versus someone's like, how quickly can I get to 10,000? I love on everybody on our team, but I'm going to link arms with people that want to run at my speed. Is that fair? Those two questions, guys, flush that out. Flush it out. And so I'll hang up the phone. I'm like, Mr. Hall, man, you got a rock star on your hands right now. If you need anything, I want to be included on this. Let me know how I can help support you. You lean in. He is a priority. Get it? Cool. Get connected. This is a big one. So I have the associate on the phone. We just finished our last three-way call. I hang up with Mr. Hall, who was our upline platinum. I hang up the phone with him. I'm not done with this person yet. This is how intense this is. I am telling them to pull out their calendar, put me on speakerphone, whatever they use, paper, phone, I don't care. And I'm saying our team call is every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. We do a Facebook Live. Add it to your calendar now and push that little blue repeat button. I want you to do everything in your power to make this a priority. If it's not on your schedule, it doesn't happen. Can you commit? And sometimes they'll say, I work every single Monday. I'll try to move things around. But I want to have that dialogue now when they're in love with the opportunity. Right? Treat it like a business. Ask for what you want. So we do that. I then pull up my prospect app, which is so amazing. Hopefully you added that person to your app. I can see where they live if they're not local, and I can see when their briefing is. I'll send them a text with the invite, and I'll say, add this to your calendar. It's every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's at blank. How far is that from your house? 2 miles. Awesome. By the way, our next Super Saturday is 3 weeks on blank. Can you also commit to go there? I don't need to tell them everything we're doing, who the speaker is, all that. I want to get it on their calendar because if it's not on your calendar, it doesn't exist. We tracking? Cool. I know I'm going fast, guys. We find the local briefing. And then we have two team Facebook pages. That's just how our team works. I literally send the invitation to them while they're on the phone, and I have them accept it. I'm not putting chance out there. People get busy. We get a lot. I get invited to 100 pages a day, it seems like. I don't want it to get buried in the trash. I want this to be important to them. And then we do a welcome post. Good, I had it up there. This is huge, too. So my wife, God bless her, is amazing at this. She makes a template where we welcome new associates. You guys have probably seen it on the Legal Shield Associate Success page. Hope I got that right. You're probably sick of seeing our stuff. I post it everywhere. When you make this post within 2 hours of a new associate joining your team, and they have 100 comments and likes on that big page that has 30,000 members, whatever it is, they know this is the right move. They don't get welcomed anywhere in their entire life, and they just got a welcome from 100 people in 2 hours. Game over. Game over. It's also huge for recruiting within your own team because I might be having a bad day, which we all do, right? But if I see Mr. Hall on my team recruit two people today, I'm like, man, there's someone out there that's ready. I'm ready to go. It's momentum from inside the organization and also for the new associate. Cool? Yeah. The upline expert. Yeah. But, you know, it's a really good question, too. That does not have to be an ED. If you're a manager in this room and you have a new associate, you want to identify who your talent is as quickly as possible. Is that cool? Okay. So there's no limit to who can do it, but someone needs to. I think it'd be cool if all three people did. Maybe not the sideways, but at least the two. And don't be afraid of it, guys. People will answer you, and you will flush it. It's amazing. Good question. This is a fun one. Can I get another one of these if we have it? Awesome. Thank you. Okay, so this is cool. We came up with this. I'm so bad at days. I always say 45 days. It's probably been 60 days now. I'm going to tell you about my friend Jeff. So a little bit of control freak, trying to work through that and get better. That's why we fixed that three-way issue. We were onboarding a lot of new people, and when I'm doing the three-way call, you're starting to flush out talent, right? You can see it. I see people on our team calls, actively participating in our Facebook group, and things are looking really good. Yet we weren't having the numbers that I wanted to have, right? I wanted more explosive growth. And so I was like, what's going on? And I started to discover that people can come to training, but when they're out in the field, it changes. Unless you really practice, you get good at it. So they would go out and throw up Legal Shield all over someone, and it was like their loved one, their closest people. And it's hard to recover from that. Don't quit because you can, but it's hard. And so I called one of my senior directors, and I said, I want to beta test something called the Power of Three. And I said, who in your organization, and if you don't have anyone, tell me, it's okay, has been with us at least a month, has had zero success, shows leadership ability, not saying they're a leader, but shows leadership ability, and who is plugged in. They're going to briefings, they're going to Super Saturdays, they're on our team calls. Do you have anyone? And he goes, I got this guy, Jay. I said, cool. I said, I want you to get Jay on the phone with me in 5 minutes. He's like, 5 minutes? I said, yeah. By the way, do you guys hear urgency when I talk? I don't wait till tomorrow. Don't. Get it done now. I said, now, like when in 5 minutes? He goes, I'll call him. I said, perfect, I'm available. And so he gets Jay on the phone. He has no idea what he's doing. I said, tells you know how we drop the ball, we're human. Jay gets on the phone, he's never talked to me. From his upline, silver. I never talked to him. I didn't do a three-way call. The associate's fault and also my fault, because I didn't do what I just taught you. I dropped the ball. And I said, I want to apologize for not doing a three-way call. It's our standard, and I made a mistake, and I'm sorry, but I want to introduce myself. He was like, man, no worries. I appreciate your calling. That's a cool thing, too, when you call down, is they're really excited. Right? So I could tell he's saying the right things. And I said, listen, I understand that you're not having a lot of success yet. Is that true? And he said, yes, I haven't recruited anybody, sold no memberships. I was like, man, I'm sorry. I said, I also understand that you have leadership ability. You're looking to grow your leadership. He said, yeah, 100%. I know leadership is everything. I said, cool. I said, I also understand that you're plugged in. I see you on the calls. And he said, yeah, 100%. I said, listen, I want to beta test something with you. I think you're a perfect candidate for it, but I need to know that you're going to be coachable and that you're going to do exactly what we say. He goes, yeah, man, I have to figure this out. I got to make it work, right? So I say all that to say that this is not for everyone what I'm going to teach you. This is for key people that are plugged in, that are trying, because we all have associates on our teams that don't show up for anything, yet they're mad they don't get any results. I can't be the only one. Maybe I am. I'm definitely moving to Utah then. yeah, so it happens to all of us. I wanted someone that had some skin in the game. So I said, cool, here's what we're going to do, man. We're gonna get you rank advanced today. And he was like, today? I was like, yeah, today. He was like, oh, okay. And I said, this was 2 o'clock. I said, I have a conference line. I'm going to text you right now. We're going to do a conference call at 3 o'clock. And I said, I want you to get 3 of your closest people to you who you love, know, respect, and care about who are in your hometown in Pittsburgh. If mom lives in San Diego, don't use her on this. We can still love on her later. But I want 3 local people to you. And he goes, yes, sir, but I haven't been able to get anyone to a briefing or watch a movie or watch a video. How am I going to do that? I said, I'm going to give you a script. Will you follow it? And he goes, yeah. I said, cool. I said, you're going to call those 3 people who you know, love, care about. And the other line I say is who you want to see placed in a position of wealth, because we're going to open your 3 lines today. Right? It's huge. And so he said, what do I say? I said, real simple. You're going to call up Dave and say, Dave, what's going on, buddy? By the way, this is a buddy conversation, a bro conversation, a love conversation, because no love, respect. Everyone tracking? Cool. Hey, Dave, man, real quick, man. I know you're busy. I just got introduced to some entrepreneurs who are slaying it. You can change your word, whatever. I've decided to partner with them on something that I know is going to be huge, but I've always respected your opinion as a friend, as a brother, whatever that is. Can you hop on a 3-minute call with me at 3 o'clock to tell me if I lost my mind? Think about this for a second. They're not getting sold, are they? They're being a friend, a loved one. They're telling me if I'm crazy. By the way, even if they're a friend and they really like you, they're actually looking forward to telling you you're what? Crazy. Isn't that funny? We all do that. And he goes, yeah, I can say it. And I said, repeat after me. And so he went through it one time, and I said, read it. Don't mess it up. They don't know you're reading, guys. Don't get in your head. We didn't take 2 hours, 3 hours, 3 days for him to go practice this. He did it one time, and then he got into action. You guys see that recipe? Cool. So he calls the 3 people. We get on the call at 3 o'clock. I taught him how to edify me. It wasn't perfect. It was more of a bro conversation. He didn't know me from anybody, but it was better than nothing. He had five people on that call. I found out afterward that he was worried two weren't going to show, and he didn't want to let me down. That's the power of accountability and also good leadership. So he had five on the call. He edifies me, and I want to keep this short, guys. I want to be respectful of people's time. We said 3 to 5 minutes. I said, guys and gals, I appreciate your time getting on this call, and I realize none of you know anything about why you're on the call other than we have mutual respect for Jay, right? And it's muted out, so they can't answer. And I said, I want to introduce myself. My name's Aaron. I got started with an opportunity 10 months ago at the time. We've attracted over 700 business partners. I didn't use the word associates. Business partners. We are in 37 states, border to border, coast to coast. We've identified Pittsburgh as our next expansion site. Pick up the language, guys. Talking like a business owner. Pittsburgh as our next expansion site. We've also identified Jay as our next expansion director, leader, I think I said. We were just about to go into launch mode, which we've already proven works with our track record. And Jay says, hey, Aaron, can you slow down for a second? And I was like, slow down, man. I'll slow down for nothing. Like, what's going on? And he goes, I got people I know, love, respect, and care about that I want to see have an opportunity to link arms with us first before we go public. I said, Jay, that's a really, really good idea. That's why the five of you guys are on this call today. I'm going to come off mute in just a second, and I want to know who wants to peek their head behind the curtain, open the door, and see what we're doing. If you're interested in learning more, I want to send you a 20-minute video. If it's not for you, no harm, no foul. We just wanted to let you guys see it first. Oh, by the way, I made a mistake, and I wasn't clear to Jay. We were only supposed to have three people on this call. We were looking for three key spots. I don't play favorites, so although there are five, the first three are going to be in the top three positions. We have room for all five, but just know I'm not playing favorites. So mom, dad, cousin, I'm sorry. It's the way it's going to be, so act first. I came off mute. It goes like this. Me, me, me. Don't know what it is, but send it. Me, me, me. Right? He had never gotten exposure done. I was able to do it in 4 minutes. Okay? So I said, cool. Who on this call can watch the video right now? Ask for what you want. Three said yes. Two said, I'm picking up kids. The other one was picking up food, I think she said. I said, no worries. Can you commit today? They said yes. I made a mistake. I didn't get the time on those two, by the way, which I learned later. So anyway, we sent the video out. The minute I hung up the conference call, Jay gets his first call from Mark. Mark says, I am in. Send the video, but I want to sign up first. I don't want to lose a spot. He's like, what do we do? I was like, we sell it. We signed them up. The other two, it was 24 minutes later, 29 minutes later, because they watched the 20-minute video. I had to actually answer two questions for them, one question maybe. We signed up three. The fourth one we signed up at 9 a.m. the next morning. Fifth one went ghost. I don't know who. I don't know if they're still a friend or not, but they went ghost. Long story short, he'd been with us 30 days, 31, no success. He now just rank advanced, had a team of four in less than 12 hours. Right? And I would say it's going to be. Anyone in this room can do this. Yeah, thank you. What we did was we took out the guesswork of a new associate and put it in the hands of an expert. Let me do that. You bring them. Let me close them. Let me invite them. Let me pique interest. Not done yet, guys. You've seen the numbers. We blow things up. And he kind of teased it earlier. I said, cool, guys. You guys have loved ones, people you know love, respect in Pittsburgh, right? They all said, yeah, of course. I said, I want to do the pre-launch for you. Notice the words, pre-launch, before we launch again. We're going to do it. This is at 10 a.m. that morning. I said, we're going to do one at 1 o'clock the next day. I said, we're going to do the same, that same day, sorry. I said, we're going to do the same call for you. You guys use the same language that Jay used for you. You saw it work. They're like, yeah, yes, sir. And I texted to him anyway. And I said, I want you guys to get your top three people on a call. We did them individually for the next hour. It takes 5 minutes each. We had 2, 4, 3, and 2, I think, on that call. We signed 9 in an hour. So Jay now went from being an associate on our team, 31 days, with 0 people on his team, 0 memberships, to having a team of 13 in 24 hours. Okay? Watch that. Yeah. Huge. We said, cool, we are ready to launch, guys. We're going to launch. We're going to hold your hand through infancy, and we're going to do what we call a private Zoom call, something our team does really, really well. And we say we're going to set up a Zoom call tomorrow night. So now we're on day 3 at 9 p.m. You guys are going to use the same language you just used, all 13 of you. We had them on a conference call. You guys are going to get, I'm challenging you, right? Challenge people. We need goals in our life. I say, can you guys all commit to getting at least 5 people on a call? If it's a group that has a lot of influence, I would have bumped the number, right? But I wanted to start something with a little stretch, but also something that could hit. They all said yes. We ended up having 60-something people on that call. At the end of the call, we signed 33 people on Jay's team in 3 days. Yeah. He rank advanced. He ate up all those bonuses because all those people below rank advanced. He has a core group in his hometown, which is something I'm trying to get better at. Like, you guys have this core thing that we're all over the place on our team. He has a core group literally so quick in his hometown that, I mean, it's just running. And it was absolutely incredible. Hopefully that helps some people. Yeah, here's another one, too. So we featured him on our team call a few days later. Had him come up and say a couple words because maybe he just crushed it. We wanted to make this about him and not us, by the way, which is really important. This had nothing to do with us. I would never say it like this to the team. And he said, I didn't know this. I didn't know him. He said, I've been in 3 network marketing companies. I've never talked to the upline leader. I've never had an upline leader help me, and I've never had a single rank advancement in 3 companies. This guy thinks we walk on water and glow in the dark. I mean, it's crazy. I did put all this in a quick, if you guys want to take a picture. I should stand in front of it. I feel good. You know, we'll kind of recap on this too. It's not for everyone, guys. If you don't, I believe in stories. So I'll give you real life how I failed. I got so excited when this worked. I called every ED on my team, and I said, "Oh my gosh, we cracked the code!" And so I called one, and she goes, "I got this lady on my team. She'd be perfect." She got me on the phone. I rinse and repeat. I went through the same thing. I want a beta test. I did do a 3-way with her. I said, "I understand all the same questions," and I said, "I want you to get 3 people on a call with me in an hour." And she goes, "Hour?" I said, "Yeah, hour." She goes, "No, I was thinking like next week." I said, "Oh my gosh, sorry, this is not the right opportunity." I wasn't rude because I said, "Oh, one of my team, there's a place for her." This is about urgency. If you're not willing to run fast on this, guys, don't do it. So if you have someone that literally, because we all run across it, we all have our own lanes, we all have our own visions and paths on this journey. If they're not willing to go fast and willing to get 33 people on their team, 31 in 3 days, it's not the right person. You gotta have urgency on this. So be picky with who you ask because you don't want to do a takeaway from someone. I mean, she actually took it away from herself, but that is important. That's one of the things we discovered. Second thing I would have done differently after this story, and we have done it now, is I would have done the pre-launch. I would have done it a total of 3 times. I would have had a team about 45 to 60 before I did the PCC. It would have been a game over. I believe at the end of 4 or 5 days, it would have been closer to 70 or 80 people. And this can be launched anywhere. You have that candidate in that city. That has leadership ability, is plugged in, trying, and wants more. Cool? Awesome, guys. That is my training for today. I do want to do a Q&A. I know we saved some time. You're smiling. I don't know how the format is or what you want to do. We do have a microphone. We pass this? Are we going to use that? Well, I know I want to use everybody, not just people up front. We have a mic? Is someone able to help me with the mic and get it to you? I appreciate it. Guys, once again, open book. You're not going to offend me. You can tell me I'm an idiot. I get it. A lot of loved ones say it.
As a realtor. No, as a realtor, I am a realtor as well. What kind of leads did you start calling?
So, like, how to attract agents?
Did you call agents first? Or
yeah, so I tell everyone, you're going to start with who you know, you know, love, care about. You know, a good example is if you guys had a steakhouse dinner in the neighborhood where it was the best steak meal you ever had, you're going to go tell people you care about in the neighborhood. You're not going to go run a Facebook ad. And that's the example I use to every new associate. Start with your core group. It's easier. So I treated it with that. I recruited a lot of agents because that was my profession. So I always tell people this is not an agent play. This is an everyone in America play, which I just love. It's anyone over the age of 18 who's a citizen. That's it. It's who you hang out with. Does that answer your question?
Yes, but you said you spend about 30 minutes a day,
yeah.
5 days a week.
Yep.
Is it just off your SOI or just...
No, sorry, I misunderstood. I had to get better at the list thing, so when I came over, it wasn't perfect, right? I don't think any of us are. I did a lot from Facebook, so anyone that I was in conversation, if I liked something, I sent a message, got a phone number, got them on the phone. I went through my phone book. I would have certain weeks where I targeted certain sections. So, like, wills for me, that is an absolute no-brainer. Like, no-brainer. 7 out of 10 people I talk to every day don't have a will. Like, as a salesperson, you can't ask for a better strategy. And then opportunity. I know that everybody, and I'm passionate about it, you get my posture, everybody needs more money. So I led with it. So I'd have a quick conversation. Let's say it was on Facebook Messenger. I recruited a lot of people. I'd chit-chat, hey, kids look great. You know, it looks like you live an amazing life. They always say yes, even if they're not. We all do it. I say, quick question, man. Do you keep your income options open to side projects? They say, dude, what are you working on? Awesome. What's the best cell phone number so I can text it over? By the way, it's a key tip. If you're using social media, you can't do a 3-way follow-up call if you don't know their phone number. I will never send a video link or an invite over social media. I got to get their phone number to do it the right way. I got burned on that. Everyone get that? Mm-hmm. So I said on that example, what's the best phone number so I can text it? No one's ever been like, we're talking here, ever. They give it right to you.
Okay.
I would like to spend a little bit of time on agents if that helps anyone because they're very – you wanted to go there now? Yeah, cool. Okay, so – agents, guys, once again, not an agent play. We'll come back in one second. One of the things Brian Crowther said to me that day one that really sealed the deal for me, too, He said, if you and I, he's in real estate background, if you and I went into a room like this, you guys are non-legal children, just independent people, and there was a room of 100, and we talked to every single one, roughly 2% of them are going to buy, sell, or invest with us in the next 60 days. Do you agree? And I said, yeah, I've heard that stat all along, 2 to 3%. He said, watch this. If we went in that same room like this and we started talking about Legal Shield, ID Shield, and the opportunity, 92% of the people in the room are a candidate for what we sell. And he goes, this is posture. You can hang out with the small time, the niches, or you can come hang out with the masses. I have goosebumps, guys. I was like, well, how do I get over there? Like, it just made sense to me, right? So that's the beauty of this. It's not just an agent play. Agents are very, very easy, though, because they're entrepreneurial. We are crazy to go work for a job with no guarantee of a paycheck. None. I guess most of the people in this room are part-time, right? I would think. You guys have a paycheck coming in. We sign on as full-time agents with no guarantee. We pay thousands of dollars up front with no check, not even on the horizon. You don't even know where it's coming from. So when you start talking about commission and opportunity, guys, that's language that we gravitate towards. We get it. I also like them because they control their own schedule. They're flexible. I can throw up a lunch and learn. Like, we're throwing up two next week. We just planned yesterday. They don't need notice. We make our own schedule. Versus someone who's a W-2, it's like, are we doing it at night? Are we able to get off work? Is it close to work? There's a lot of other factors. Where they become difficult, and this is why people get kind of turned off by them, is they, and I'm making fun of myself, I'm an agent, still have a license, right? We think we're a lot busier than we are. So you might set up a follow-up call at 9:45 and they blow you off. You might have them, this happens to me every Super Saturday, I'll have 5, 6 confirmations from agents, oh my gosh, a client pushed it back, I'm showing. I can't argue with that, that's their income. So it's hard. So you got to be patient with that. But once you get them over here, they just flat out get it. Another thing with agents is for a successful agent, they need to be social. They need to be able to talk to people. They need to be able to handle referrals. They need to be able to fit in. We do open houses with strangers. Do you guys think that's good traits for this opportunity? Mm-hmm. Huge. It's like it's designed for it. You just got to get them in front of the information. Let's see something else. Anything else with agents? Questions that come up with that? Oh, that's a good one. Okay. This is embarrassing too, but oh well. So I stink at selling memberships, right? I'm really good at recruiting. Our team is too, but I've sold, this is really embarrassing, I'm going to get in trouble. I've probably sold 7 memberships outside of a recruit in my first year. Like, I'm awful at it, but I can recruit a lot of numbers, right? It's just, I have more fun on the recruiting side. I want to talk opportunity, and we all got to find our lane, so don't fake that if you're not me. You might be really good at memberships where I stink. Does that make sense? Okay, so I was with the company now 3 months, and I was like, I got to sell membership, man. Like, this is just isn't right. I feel weird. So I went to my hair guy, and this is the third time I've seen him now since being a member. And both times I chickened out so bad. Because I knew he wasn't going to do the opportunity. He wasn't that type of person. And don't prejudge, but I really knew this one. I knew him really, really well. So the third time, I called my wife. I'm in the car heading there from work. I'm still selling houses. I'm like, I'm going to do it today. And she's like, this is weird. And I was like, well, psych me up. You know, I'm hitting my chest, listening to music for a membership. How embarrassing is that? I'm walking up to the door, and I'm like, you're doing this the minute you walk in, because if you give... Here's the key thing. Fear needs one ingredient. Anybody know what it is? Time. And I knew if I sat down, I started talking, I did this, I waited until I went for the wash, whatever, when I pay, it was going through all limiting beliefs in my head of why I wasn't going to do it. Make sense?
Yeah.
Cool. So I walk in, he puts a little smock on, I sit down, and I say, Paul, man, you got that legal app? This is not corporate. I'm probably going to get in trouble on this one now. I said, you got that legal app? He goes, legal what? I said, the legal app. I'm talking really fast. He goes, legal what? I said, legal app. The one on the TV, social media, everyone's talking about it? He goes, dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. A guy 2 chairs down, another hairdresser, he goes, what are you guys talking about? I said, you don't have the legal app? He goes, legal what? I said, legal app. And he goes, what is that? Now we're circling up. I was like, oh my gosh, guy, I pull my phone. I said, literally, for $25 a month, you can call an attorney unlimited number of times. They'll cover tax returns. You guys are 1099. You can get your will done. And they said, what's the catch? I said, no catch. This is like 10 seconds, guys. He goes, what's the catch? I said, no catch. And he goes, how long is the contract? Like 2 years, like Verizon? I said, month to month. He goes, what's the startup? I said, $25. He goes, come on. I said, no, for real. He goes, how do I get it? I said, what's your phone number? I text him the link. This is the second guy. He's like, how do I sign up? I said, real quick, man, you push that button, I'll walk you through it. He pulls out his credit card. Paul goes, well, I want it. I said, of course you do. He pulls out his. True story. A guy behind me, I don't know any of these guys. Another hairdresser was like, what are you guys doing? I said, come on over. He comes over. He's like, what's this? He signs up. I sell 3 memberships. This is not where it ends. The third guy, I don't even know his name today, and I should. He's a member. Walks over to his chair. You know the hairdresser, there's mirrors everywhere. I can see him behind me. He goes, his client walks in, he goes, whatever his name was, you got that legal thing? He goes, what legal thing? He goes, yo, dude, you didn't know my name. He goes, he doesn't have it either. I said, you don't have the legal app? I sold 4 memberships in like 6 minutes. don't overcomplicate it. That wasn't a. And by the way, it's different for a membership. Like that wasn't a video. I didn't need everything. It's simple. Make sense? Yeah. Am I still okay to be here?
Yeah.
So just so I understood right, 4 of your 7 memberships occurred in.
You had to go there, of course. Here's the other thing I'm famous for. We do something that works, and then we stop doing it. Right? I know I'm not the only one on that.
So certain people in the room don't have hair, so that story doesn't resonate.
Oh.
I don't understand.
Know your audience.
Like how I could.
Well, when you go for your
message. Oh, there we go. I totally forgot my question. So I think it's important. Sometimes we know that you were recruited by Brian Crothers, but we don't know how you got introduced to the business and why you traveled an hour and a half to see the briefing.
Okay.
Maybe you could just share on that.
We normally don't teach this at a briefing. That's why I go over it quickly. Because this part's not duplicatable, but it's still important. I've never been in a network marketing company. I have no background. I did not bring over a team, and I'm not knocking anyone else in this room or people on stage that have. I wish I did have that. Our numbers would be bigger. So I didn't know anything. I'm a big reader. I read about a book a week. I always have. Most of it on Audible, so I cut out slivers. I wasn't very good in school or anything like that, but I turned my car into Automobile University. I read a book on the plane coming here, that sort of thing, right? And so at my real estate brokerage, we get incentivized when I just changed a year ago to attract agents. This is my first experience of recruiting. And I was like, I stink at this, man. I'm awful. And so someone on the team has suggested go read a book called Building an Empire by Brian Crothers. I know nothing about it. In fact, he doesn't even reference network marketing that often. I'm applying it through the filter of my brokerage. So I'm not even seeing it for what it is. True story. Trust me on that. And so I read it on the plane last October heading to New Orleans for a real estate convention. Finished it. It's all I talked about for 4 days to other agents. Nothing about network marketing, but this is how you recruit, you attract, you build systems, all the stuff I was struggling with. I read it again coming home 4 days later back to D.C., and I've never done that. I'll read it rarely twice. If it is, it's like years later, right? Shelve it. I read it again. I'm at the waiting for my bag. I'm getting a Starbucks. I put on my Facebook real estate page, if you're serious about wealth building attraction, go get this dude's book. I'm literally saying dude, bro, because I don't even know him. And one of my recruits there says, oh, my gosh, I used to work with him 20 years ago. I'll see if I can find him. I didn't think anything of it. 2 hours go by. I'm in the Uber heading home, and I get a call saying, hey, I just got us dinner. He lives an hour and a half west of us. Do you want to go? It was never dinner. It was a network briefing. But, of course, I said, absolutely, I want to meet this guy. So I went with that expectation. But the story to take from that is be learning-based. Have an open mind. I was really, really busy. Here's another one, too. I'll piggyback. Brian said on a call the other day, and it's weird saying about yourself, but it is what it is. He said it was our leadership call. It was directors and above. I don't know how many were on there, but strong people. And he said, let's use Aaron for a quick second. Everyone on this call would not have recruited him. I was like, man, where is he going with this? Like, he always makes it a little awkward. And he goes, everyone on this call wouldn't have done it. And I was like, what? Why? Like, did I mess up? And he goes, because he was too busy. He was already making multiple six figures, wasn't seeing his family enough, had all the reasons not to do it. You guys would have passed by him to go to someone else. Yet we still had a conversation. So I think it's important about the prejudging, guys. We were doing really well, but I was miserable. Like, miserable. I don't know. Hope that answered your question. Yeah. What else? Sure.
Uh-oh. And your verbal presentation today, what I want to know is what you did to develop that in the beginning. What have you
Good
done
question.
To develop it?
Yeah, you know, Damien and I were talking about this last night as we shared a room around here. That sounded weird.
Shared a room, not a bed. I wasn't cheating on you,
Dave. I feel a lot better now. I forgot the question. Oh, so yeah, presentation. So this opportunity loves energy, guys. It loves speed. This business is a lot more fun to build fast. And so Mr. Crothers is very, very busy. So he was doing a lot of other things with all his other legs and organizations. So we also had to figure it out. And he was very good at grooming us to take the reins quickly. I did my first presentation, gosh, it was probably my third week. And it was over Zoom. So something Mr. Crothers does really, really well, guys, and we were sharing this, is we can't just expect someone to all of a sudden say, hey, I'm ready, let me go do a presentation. I don't think it works that way. You got to be a weird person to want to get up here and go do this. Most of us are terrified, me included. But what he did really well was he was like, hey, our next team call, can you edify me? Yeah, okay, I can do that. So I eased into it. On the next call, can you go over the recognition? I was like, oh, I can do that. On the next call, would you edify me on our PCC, our private Zoom calls? I can do that. on the next call, would you mind going over the opportunity part? I was like, oh, now we're getting a little uncomfortable. Yeah, I'll do it. I did that for a couple weeks. The next time, can you do the first half? So he broke it up and, like, really had training wheels on. At the end of it, I had done all components. And now he was like, dude, you're ready to go. Does that make sense? The other thing, too, is we do a lot of PCCs, guys. It's a private Zoom call. I know that acronym because we do it a lot. We're all over the place, so we can't do it. I don't say we can't. We don't do a lot of PBRs because we have team everywhere. So a private Zoom call is like a PBR, but it's over the Zoom feature. We do those, man, I don't know, 2 to 3 a day. Like, we are running with, they're free. Like, I'll never understand it. If you can get an associate, and where I had to get really challenged myself, I used to get, I like going fast. With someone like, you know, they challenged them to invite 5, they only had 1. Your presentation skills stank. You're down because you're like, man, that's 1 person. I want to have like 10 on here. But that's 1 person that I would not have had the right or the privilege to talk to without doing that. Does that also make sense? So when you're doing a lot of at-bats, guys, you're doing a lot of presentations, and I lost the whole train of thought. I was telling him, one of the curses of living where I live with Brian Carruthers, and most people won't say it's a curse, and Darnell Self, is I watch these guys do presentations every single week, and you have to go home and compare yourself to them. Like, it's awful. Awful. I wanted to quit. When, you know, after we booked it, I was like, man, I'm going to fake an injury. I tore a hammy. Like, I didn't want to come. But you just got to get reps, and we all have our own story and get better. You know, I told Damian, too, I said, take notes. I want critiques. I don't want them to tell me how great I did. I want to get better every single time. The other thing Brian says, and this is the truth, guys, money flows to the leader. It flows to the presenter. It flows to the person holding the mic. We all have different versions of that. That could be a PBR you're doing. It could be a Zoom call. It could be this. It could be a briefing. But you got to get comfortable getting uncomfortable. You got to stretch your leadership lid. Answer your question? Yeah, no. You whisper it to me.
Yeah. When he says money flows to the mic, and you may be thinking in your head, yeah, but I don't present at the briefings. Do the work to earn the respect that they demand that you're in front of the room. We would love to have a dozen different presenters, the one we have right now. We would love it. We would love different ages, backgrounds, races, religions. We would love all kinds of diversity. Do the work that it takes that people say, I got to know what he's doing. I saw him on stage, not this last convention, but the one before that. And he'd only been in the business like 3 months.
Threw up backstage?
Yeah.
I'm like 3 months. Awful. I didn't really throw up, but oh my
God. I've been here 20 years. He's been here 3 months. And corporate's having him on stage training the rest of us. What does that say about do what it takes to earn the respect so they want you on stage? Now they've chosen him within his first year to run numerous states as the networking vice president. That's amazing. I guarantee you there's people that are in Legal Shield that have been there 20, 30 years. In those states that are sitting there going, why didn't they choose me? Why'd they choose this guy that's still wet behind the ears? And he's now running numerous states. But because he's doing the work that it takes to earn the respect. But now here's my question. Maybe, I don't know if anybody knows this, but this is his very first Super Saturday ever.
Ever. I want to get a photo.
Now,
this is one of those things you'll never forget, by the way.
What?
So awesome.
Okay. Now, it's not because there hasn't been tons of states that wanted him to come. It's because Brian Carruthers.
All those other states suck.
Brian Carruthers would not let him take his foot off the gas pedal to even leave for a weekend to go to those other states because their team is just growing so fast. And so I picked him up down in Las Vegas. Flew him into Las Vegas. We get toward the southern half of the state, work our way north, and then finish here. And then he'll fly home this afternoon. After he got off the plane, he texted Mr. Carruthers to let him know, by the way, I went to do a Super Saturday. So my question is, after everyone wanting you to come to do their Super Saturday and you turning them down, why Utah the first place to go do a Super Saturday?
That's wow, a such a such a good question. Yeah. Because of you. Yeah. It's leadership, man. You crave the associations you're around. I'll call you up for a quick second. So when I met him, we got invited to do that panel on Salt Lake City. And we did a pre-Zoom with Mr. Self and the other panelists. He was so quiet. I remember sitting, I called Alex Shaheed, and I was like, is this guy going to be okay? He gets on stage. Yeah, true story. He gets on stage. He has that stack, his backpack. He, like, morphed into, like, Superman. I was like, he stole the show. I go off stage, and I'm so nervous. I'm like, where's my team? And they're like, who's Dave? I'm like, Dave, what about me? And they're like, I want to meet Dave. So that was part of it, man. You were so accommodating. You knew I was so new. Whatever you saw in me, I appreciate it. I knew you were going to be an amazing host. You were going to hold my hand. And this is just an amazing place, the culture you guys have. He also jumped on a team call. I ask people to help us all the time. He cleared schedules right before a fast start. I just, utmost respect for him. Yeah. I'm glad your mic's turned off. You know, so a couple things real quick. Please write it down. I don't want you to forget. He said some really important things. So I was 3 months in when Don Thompson called and said, we want you on a panel in Dallas. You want to talk about fainting. Like, I don't like this, even though it seems probably like I kind of do. It's uncomfortable. But so it's funny. I remember talking to one of my associates, and you never vent down, but this is one of my best friends. He's actually my leadership coach, one of my bronze EDs. And I called him and told him, and he said, I'm not going to take out the word to use. He said, you don't have a freaking choice. I said, what? Because I was going to tell him I was going to turn it down. I wasn't ready. I wasn't qualified. I felt very uncomfortable. I don't know network marketing. I don't know anything. I don't know what a PBO is. I was calling it PBR. I mean, this is or PBA, whatever it was. Like, I just didn't want to do it. And he goes, you don't have a choice. And this is why he's my leadership coach. And I said, why? And he goes, because it's not about you. It's about us. It's about us. And he said, this is our figurehead, our team lead, who has the opportunity to be on stage that people would kill for. You don't have the right to turn it down. Do it for us. Take your way out of it. And I ended up doing it. And backstage, I mean, we were knees shaking. I thought I was going to vomit. It was awful. And all the old timers were like, this is easy, man. It's going to be so easy. You can't see anybody. They lied. You go out. I can see it. I can see my wife. I can see everybody. It was awful. But the story of that being is I learned a really good lesson, guys, and I learned it coming here, is you have to run to what's uncomfortable. He called me and said, will you come? And I don't say I blew him off. I was like, let me think on it. Let me look at some dates. I was about to blow him off. And I'm sitting there, and I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, the dates work. And I was like, I don't want to do it, man. I've never done one. I'm nervous. And I looked at her. I said, I have to do it. And she goes, because you're nervous. I said, yeah. And I go, every time I get uncomfortable, I know I'm in the right place. And so a lot of people not calling one out aren't comfortable doing that. I would ask yourself, it happens with everything. If you have a prospect in your phone right now that makes you uncomfortable to call, that is your first call. Run to the uncomfortable and your life will change.
Do you have any stories or anything about pushing yourself beyond the limit that you thought you could go?
Yeah, I'll tell you an overweight story. We, arch something, delicate art, I don't know what it was. It was crazy arch. Absolutely beautiful. So he says, we're gonna go hike this thing. I don't hike, you can look at me. I need to. So we start hiking. You get to this parking lot, trailhead. I learned a lot of new buzzwords, by the way. I can't wait to take home. We're at the trailhead, and you walk on this little short gravel thing. I'm like, it's not going to be that bad. If he can do it, I can do it, right? One of those. It's the three of us, not in a bad way. People laughed a little too hard at that one. Sorry. So you get to the trailhead. It's literally flat, and then you come to this concrete part, and it's like straight up. And so we're walking, and it's only, 30, 40 yards? I am, like, out of breath, like, dude, we're not doing this. And he's like, man, we got this. Damien's there with us. We got this. I'm like, oh, man, they got it. I got to do it. Like, I can't quit. For one, he's going to show a video of it on Super Saturday. So we're pushing through, and this is they said it was, like, a 20-minute walk. That's a lie. This is probably 45 to an hour, straight uphill. And the only people smiling are the ones coming downhill. Like, it was brutal. And I'm like, man, I wanted to quit. My legs were cramping. Way out of shape. It's awful. But every time I wanted to quit, he was pushing. There were times where I speak for him, or maybe he was down on himself, and I was pushing, right? And so we learned so many lessons. One was, can I talk?
Sure.
Yeah, so his legs were really cramping up. He got a little bit behind, said, you guys go ahead, I'm gonna come up.
Like an hour behind.
Okay. He said that. The lesson here on that was, he lost his leadership team. Really, it's not even a team, but leadership. And Dave, he ends up trekking through, pushing through it. He ends up taking a different path and gets off track. Stay close to the leader. Think about that. So then the other lesson I learned was accountability. I did not want to let him down. I did not want him to walk. Like, halfway up, I was like, I'm done, man. Like, this is it, bro. Let's go back. You call emergency, get a helicopter. I'm out. I'm going to DCA today. And he said, no, we got this. He kept offering encouragement, right? And I believed in him. I said, if he can do it, I can do it. And we just kept pushing. All of a sudden, you get to the top, guys. I know you guys live here, and you're spoiled. We get to the top on a Friday, where everyone else is at work. We are the only two people at the top of this arch taking selfies and photos with not a single soul in the background. All because we had perseverance, we pushed through, we got uncomfortable, we helped each other, we leaned on each other. It was awesome. It was cool. I know you had one. No, he wasn't backstage. He was quite on the Zoom call, like leading up to it. We get backstage. Here's another story. He has his little backpack. I'm sure people thought that was a bomb or something. And you're backstage. It's like a real back. I've never done anything like that. Like you have a makeup room and a white room, whatever they call it. Like you get like treated like it's nice. That part's cool. We're back there and we're waiting in line to come out. They have us in order of our seats. Mr. Self out there first, and they go up to Mr. They go up to Dave and they like, you can't bring a backpack on stage. He's like, yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes, I am. And like literally, he takes his backpack on. The lady's like pulling on him. And that's who he is, as you guys all know. But I was like, this dude's cool. Anybody else have a question?
Question?
Yeah. So, yeah. How is the mic so everyone?
And Damien, I know you have a couple.
All right. So, throughout your journey, how did you do any door-to-door sales or door-to-door with the Legal Shield? Or
no, we haven't. Our team hasn't done anything cold. It's a really good question, and it's no judgment. If it works for you, whatever you guys got to do, whatever your leadership says, we haven't bought leads. We haven't done anything door knocking, anything like that. Okay. We've kept it warm. Here's the other thing too. If you're doing a lot of the steps that we did, and I encourage you to do all of them, really, right, the power of three and the five steps, I don't have time for cold. I don't have time. If I bring him on, he's getting me on the phone with his three people in an hour. I'm getting on the phone with those three people, there's three, now we're at nine. I mean, you could duplicate that for 24 hours a day and never run out of a warm lead, guys. No judgment if you're going the other route, but just think about that. If you're running out of warm market, it's because you're not talking to the people you just got introduced to. Here's another one, too. You can relaunch someone. I love this because I make mistakes all the time where I just miss someone. I got busy. I did this. I brought on two associates before I came. I did not spend the time with them because I was here. No, not mad, but it is what it is. I have to go home on Sunday and relaunch their business. So you might be in a place in this room. Reach, in fact, I'll challenge people up front. Tell them you want to do the power of three, right? Part of the reason I got Brian Crowther's attention, and people ask this a lot too, is he wasn't finding me. He wasn't saying, hey, do you want to run? I was all over him. I got his cell phone number. I called him 10 times that first day. I got a three-way. I got this. I got that. By the way, that turns someone on who wants to run. Yeah. Anyone up here, blow their phones up with prospects, with you doing activity, energy. We're all in on it. It's what we signed up for. Hopefully that helps.
Thank you.
Yeah. I use the same corporate presentations. Here's another free. Yeah, I'll go ahead and give it. It's fine. Anyone that's, are you okay with that? The LS, in the real estate? Okay, cool. We don't venture off the model. It works. Hang on one second. But we use the videos from the prospect app all the time. We're a big prospect team. The only other time I venture off from that where we're going to do a video, it's something taped, is we recorded, and write this down, guys. It's called realestatels.com. I'm probably going to get a picture with this. And that's a Zoom that we shot. I think I'm on it. Brian's on it. And a couple members of our team. It's targeted just to real estate agents and lenders, mortgage people. And the only reason I like, you can still recruit them the other one, but we speak their language. And anytime you get in a relationship, you guys heard that trend a lot. We talk about the same, the language, everything else, the sales cycle, they just get it. So it's a really good video to send out when you're talking to those two groups of people. Real estate, LS for LegalShield.com. For the agents, yeah. Only negative, it's not in the app, so you can't track it. So that's where that five-step process, guys. You need to know when they're watching it. Here's another posture technique, too. Agents, I said, once again, make fun of myself. We think we're a lot busier than we are, right? Everyone agree? Anyone who's tried to recruit one, you've probably gone through the story I said. I was on a call with one for a three-way. She didn't end up watching the whole video, but I really wanted to help out this associate of mine because they're trying so hard. I said, give them the phone. I want to close them. So I get on the phone. I said, you know, when today can you watch the video? And she said, not today. I said, okay, when tonight? She goes, not tonight. I said, when tomorrow morning? I'm going to ask what I want. And she goes, I'm thinking like 2 weeks. I was like, huh? And she goes, this is posture. It's hard to teach. And she said, 2 weeks? I said, if I send this to Donald Trump, he's watching it today. Everybody has 30 minutes. And she goes, send it over. I'll watch it tonight at 9. So I say that because I don't buy those excuses. Everybody in this room has 30 minutes to spare. I don't care how busy you are. If it is important to you, you will carve out 30 minutes. Anyone here not agree with that? Take that same language out into the field, guys. If you make this opportunity big enough where it solves a problem in their life, they will carve out 30 minutes to watch it.
And that was my question. Video.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here.
So when you were talking about, sorry, I've got a cold. When you're talking about getting like a specific time of day or doing three-way calls, like, did you already fill out the application or are you doing that now? I know a lot of people who, if they feel like they're being pushed, they'll refuse anything even if it's good. How do you do that without sounding
pushy? You know, such a good question, guys. That's the power of the three-way call, and that's the other reason why I love this opportunity. I've never been in an opportunity where I had to sell my friends and family. Like, it was real estate. Like, we sold, you know, leads and everything else, right? I did not want to be pushy to those I loved, and that was a real block for me. The power of the three-way call is I've never closed, and I always make sure I'm being honest with you, I'm going to say like 99% sure, I've never closed my own associate without using a three-way call. Even my dad, I did not do it. It's unfair to him because I'm role modeling bad behavior. So anytime you have a three-way expert on the phone, it's not coming off as closey. It just isn't. I don't get that pushback. If it was me and I'm like, come on, man, do this for me. You're my friend. Please, like, help me out. I'm up against a rank of man. That comes off as like, man, what are you doing? Like, this is weird. Like, it's damaging our friendship. When it's a three-way call, you don't get that feeling. You really don't. The other thing I get, too, is a lot of people say on the what questions do you have? It looks dope. It looks cool. But I'm not a salesperson. I say, thank God. I've been looking for you. I don't want salespeople. Anybody can play in this. If they can invite someone to a briefing, to a Super Saturday, get a video in their hands, get them on the phone with a three-way, I didn't do one piece of closing in that whole equation, right? Make sense? Yeah. Cool.
What's our best video as an associate that we want to show our new, because I haven't, you know, found an exact video. Now, the guy, Ron Weaver, which is he in Texas, he signed me up. And he sent me a great video through the however, I haven't been able to get that video sent to other people. It's just to my email. So is it the connect dot?
It would be the prospect.
Is that the best video to send to new? Okay.
And everyone asks this question. That's a really good question. Don't overthink it. You want to get the video in their hands. The video is just peeling back the curtain. It's a three-way call that's going to close them. Here's another big tip, guys. Write this down. I've recruited a lot of numbers you guys have seen. I have never sent the video to someone who called me up at 9:15 when they said and said, sign me up. Ever. Ever. And I have some ballers on my team who are bronze EDs. They didn't. It's not a sexy thing to buy. It's not like a new TV, a new car you can go touch, you can go play with. You're buying something to protect yourself. You can. That's true. but that's important, guys. So that's the power of the three-way. You have to follow up. I see that mistake all the time where someone is sitting here and they're like, I said it to them, it's 9:15. If they liked it, they'd call me. It's not true. It is not true. You will stunt your growth if you don't fix that up here, guys. You won't. Here's another one, too. Write this down real quick. This is a big one I learned, I don't know, 6-7 years ago. Changed my life. Most people play not to lose versus playing to win. Most people play not to lose versus playing to win. What I mean by that is you're talking to a friend. Oh, if they liked it, they called me. Not me. If they like it, I'm going to find out about it because I'm going to call them. I am willing to risk a relationship. To get something, to gain something, to build something else with both of us. So you've got to be comfortable playing to win versus playing not to lose. It's also someone else's hand.
Okay. Question.
Cool. Hey, you have already shared, and thank you so much, of the glitches you've overcome. If you were to summarize like two of your biggest challenges you overcame, maybe what would those be?
We struggle every day. One is the growth happened so fast that I was still part-time for the first, four and a half months. At that point, we probably had a team of close to 400. At this point, it was only Mr. Curlers and myself. So we're teaching everything. We're getting three ways. I'm running 15 three ways a day while trying to run a multi-million dollar business. We're selling $35 million in real estate. So I'm in between clients. And part of me is I don't ever want to let someone down. And I know if they get them on the phone, we're going to close them, like 9 out of 10. So I'm juggling this, trying to do that, and that was hard because there were times where I just couldn't do it, and I hadn't built enough leverage or leadership within the team that we were struggling, and we didn't want to slow down. That's the other thing too, guys. When you're building fast, you're going to break the systems you currently have, and be okay with that. I live in chaos every single day. I know I'm going to let someone down, and it's part of it. They know me that I didn't do it on purpose. Excuse me. It's part of growth. If you want everything to be, and I know I'm preaching, I'm sorry. You want everything to be perfect, guys, you'll never grow. It's impossible. My systems that I have now are not going to be built for me a year from now when it's platinum. If things are going to change, I'm going to have to grow into new problems, and I'm okay with that. I want to fail. The more you fail, the more you win. Another one, let me think. Anything I said to you guys, I'm a failure? We fail a lot. I'm not trying to act like we don't. I'm trying to think of a meaningful one. Yeah. Let's talk about follow the money. Please, guys, I know some of you have questions. You'll forget if you don't write them down. Here's a really cool recruiting strategy. I want you guys to walk out and not only, you know, learn something, go make money today. By the way, don't start tomorrow. What time do you guys get out? 2, 3 o'clock? Start today. That's not a mistake I see. You guys, your minds are going. Go digest the notes, but get into action. Whether it's 2 a day, 5 a day, whatever your story is, go take action today. And I lost my train of thought. Follow the money. This is a big one. Everybody in this room has relationships with people they give money to, weekly, monthly, yearly, whatever it looks like. People get their nails done. By the way, my hairdresser, did he really have a choice? I mean, I guess he did. I would have found a new hairdresser. When I was still in real estate, right? I'm just being transparent. I went to my lender. My lender makes between, I don't know, $8,000 and $12,000 a month from my production, right? And that's a good thing. She helps me, and I help her. It's a mutual relationship. That's the definition. I went to her for the opportunity. With the membership, she's like, no, I'm good. I was like, well, come on, man. You got to do me solid. Like, I make a lot of money. It's $50 to help support, and I get it. It's marketing, whatever you want to call it. We have a lot of relationships right like that. She's like, no, I'm good. I was like, okay, will you at least commit to watch it before you say that? And she goes, no, I'm good. I said, okay, I'm going to have to get a new lender. So I went out and got a new lender. To me, that's not a relationship. Like, if I help you every single month, you're not even willing to look. And I'm not here to, sorry, what? Oh, that's what I'm saying. I'm not here to offend anybody. Like, if she would have watched it and said no, I'm okay with that. But the fact you wouldn't even look. So I would say follow the money. Anyone that you guys are giving money to, that you have relationships with, those are people that it needs to be reciprocated. The roofer is a good one. That's one of the 7 memberships. So you're about to hear number 5. We had to get a roof done with some hail damage a couple months ago. So the roofers are coming out getting estimates because I want to make sure we got the best deal. And so I talked to the first two, and I said, man, I have this amazing membership. Do you, by the way, whoever you're talking to, try to figure out what their need's going to be. So I had this roofer on my deck. We're in the backyard. And I said, man, you look like you do great work. What is that, by the way? Set number 1. I said, can I ask you a personal question? He said, yeah, man, sure, what's up? I said, have you ever had a client not pay you? And he goes, that's a true story. He goes, oh, my God, this MF-er. And he said this. I don't even know this guy. And I was like, whoa. And then he goes, I'm so sorry, sir. And I was like, no, you're good. You're in a safe place. Like, he got comfortable. And he goes, this guy a couple weeks ago, I did a $12,000 roof, and he has not paid me yet. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing about it? He goes, I'm a sole proprietor. He literally just, like, fell in my lap. I'm a sole proprietor. I can't take off work. I'm going to go hire an attorney at $1,000 an hour. I was like, $1,000? Wow, that made it easy. He goes, $1,000 an hour? I can't. So I just got to write it off, man. It is what it is. And I was like, I was in a similar situation in my real estate business where a vendor didn't pay, and I discovered this app. $25 a month, literally, you can push a button. They go to bat for you, do the letter. He goes, where's the app? I said, right here. I signed him up on the deck. His shoes were off. His shoes were in my house. I signed him up. Who do you think I used as a roofer? That guy. But just ask a simple question. I stink at it. Follow the money. We're in a relationship with these people. I also solved a big problem that he was facing just by asking a question and listening. Yes, sir.
If I understood by your language, you are no longer doing real estate, or is real estate part-time as leadership?
I shut the team down. I tried to recruit as many as I could, which made it really awkward because we came in one Monday and I just said, we're no longer doing this. It just didn't make sense for me. It wasn't where my heart was. Yeah, you remember in the briefing, too, for those of you guys that were here, once you understand residual, you'll do anything for it. So I was struggling. I was doing well at work. I wasn't happy, but I was doing well. But every time I met with a client, we blessed to live in a place where we have really good commissions. In my mind, I was blocked. I was like, it's one and done. Like, I take that money, I pay the business, I pay my family, whatever else, it's gone. I have to go, it's first and 10 again. So I kept saying, like, I didn't want to do it. And I was at a lower level then. I was making $120 a sale, whatever I was. And I was more, like, drawn to that versus the $12,000 commission because I understood residual. So, yeah, I folded the team after 4.5 months, somewhere around that. I'll do the occasional deal if it's friend, family, like in my neighborhood, something easy, but I'm not chasing real estate. And not a knock on it. I love real estate. It just wasn't my play.
So I have a question. Jay, going back to Jay,
yeah,
or the roofer, who you signed up through the membership, led with the membership.
Yep.
How did you go back and are any of them associates?
None of those in that example are. Okay. You know, that's the thing. Once again, there's multiple ways to do this, so you got to go to your upline. I don't want to say anything that contradicts what you guys are learning. I just believe in leading the opportunity. I know everyone's looking for more money. If they don't buy the opportunity, I default with the membership. For me personally, I see the value of the membership now. I didn't after a 45-minute presentation. Like, I got it, but I wasn't where I am now. My posture wasn't there. If I didn't know there was a play for me to build something big for my family, I love building, by the way. You probably hear it. I probably wouldn't have done it. So I always say, like, you don't know who you're talking to unless you really, really do. So you got to be careful with what you lead with. I can lead with the opportunity because I know that people want money. And if they don't, that's not their play. I default over here, and either way you win.
So tagging on to that question. So let's say you have your in with the realtors through the broker. So now you don't want to look like you're trying to take their team or something. How would you introduce the opportunity, or would you just stick with memberships just?
Yeah, so you have to, she's asking a more higher level question. So a lot of real estate offices, they'll allow a Legal Shield associate to go present the membership to the office, is what I think you're saying.
It's a Keller Williams.
Yeah, okay, cool. Most real estate brokers will not allow you to talk opportunity because they don't want their team getting distracted. So if that's the rule, don't mess that up. Like, you do a membership and you just get in a relationship and they'll slowly start to see it. Okay. So be careful with that. Here's another tip too, guys. If you're targeting agents, two brokerages I would target are eXp Realty and Keller Williams. And it's because they both have a revenue share model where we get paid to recruit, so they understand leveraged income. It's a very easy conversation when you're talking to someone that already gets leveraged income, because most Americans don't.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a good play. You know, Dave did this earlier, but I believe in a takeaway strategy a little bit.
They didn't hear the question. Okay.
Question is, do you try and recruit the broker and let them recruit the agents, or another model?
Yeah, so if I'm having a conversation with a broker or something, or like a team owner, I'll go through what it is. I'll show them how they can help their agents. It's all about helping. Most, by the way, you know, anyone in this room know how many homes the average agent in North America sells? Four. Average commission, I'm going to use my commission, which is not the average. We live right outside D.C. Four a year. My average commission in my market, which is Washington, D.C., is high. It's $10,000. That's $40,000. The average split you pay to a brokerage just to be in business is a third. I'm not great at math. What is that? A third of what? $12,000. Let's call it, so $28,000. They haven't paid Uncle Sam yet. They haven't paid any marketing expenses. The average agent in North America lives below the poverty line. When you start talking that you have a solution where they can get paid every single day, it's over. You got to shake them. Yes.
I can yell. Yes, all right, I won't. It's fine.
You should have heard what he said to me last night in the car, by the way.
Man, that was good.
So awkward.
I'm still feeling a little awkward about it today.
Me too.
And there goes the question. I'm totally kidding. You talked about him recruiting 35 people in 24 hours. My guess is it's the system you said, the 3-minute. How have you been able to be so successful at duplicating your system that we find so difficult to get someone engaged in the process and doing it? Is that what you just trained and your team is just running with that?
Yeah, but it's not for everyone, though. Like, so when I get on the phone, a new associate, I'm going to say, like, we're going to rank advance you today. You're going to know instantly. Today's not a good day. Like, I still laugh at that. You would say it's not a good day to make money? But some people, we all have our... Thank you for laughing. One person's here. I appreciate you. But it doesn't make sense to me. But that right there tells me instantly in their language they're not going to run at the pace I want to run. We're still going to love on them. They still have a home on our team, but they're not going to be able to utilize these tools. Some people don't think they can do it. So that's the other thing. They're always looking at it through their filter. So when you're saying... Here's another really good tactic. I'll onboard someone. If they don't live in my market, it's a really good one. We go through all the onboarding steps. At the very end, I say, what's today, Saturday? I say, what are you doing Monday afternoon or Monday evening? When do you have an hour open? They'll say, I don't know. So you pull your calendar, right? They love the opportunity. We're in a really good relationship right now. And they'll say, I have an hour from 6 to 7 Monday, but what are we doing? Go ahead and block it and write the word in PZC. They're like, what's that? I'm going to explain it in a second. Can you block it? And they put it on the calendar, push save, they save. I say, awesome. What that is, it's a private Zoom call. And they're like, you can hear it. Huh? Don't worry. I'm going to do the presentation. I'm going to text you a simple script. You're going to get 5 of your closest friends that you know, love, care about on a call with me Monday night at 7. I'm going to walk through everything. You don't have to do anything. All you got to do there is be there, smile, and be pretty. That's it. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes. And you'll hear it. They're scared. And I'll send them the text. And the reason I do that aggressively in 2 days is the longer they think on it, they're less likely to do it. What are my friends going to say? What is this? But that person who I can get, let's say 5 are on, I'm going to sign a minimum of 2, most likely 3. They're so in love with the system, at the end of that day, it's over. And back to your question about leads. If I just sign 2 of those 5, rinse and repeat. I onboard those 2 people Monday night with the new associate. By the way, guys, as leaders, when you're doing this activity, have the sponsoring associate on the phone with you. I will not do this for them. I will role play it as many times as it takes for them to do it, but that's active learning for them to do it. So I role play with them. I get those two people in that example. We're going to set theirs on, if we do this on Monday, we're going to set it on Wednesday, afternoon or night. Those two people have five people on. We signed two more. Now I have four PCCs for Saturday. I can fill up your entire schedule in 1 week if you give me one associate. We overthink it. And don't let them think about it. That's the other key.
I was just wondering if we have access to those, what you emailed to the client, the agent, you know, the whatever we are, associate. When you said I go over it with it, are they available? Could you?
Yeah, I can get that to these guys. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. But it's really, you guys will laugh at it. It's super simple. You want to make this so easy that anyone that you guys meet on the field can play in the space. That's the other thing too. Big mistake. One of the biggest things I learned from Brian in that book is at my brokerage where I was failing recruiting is I was the presentation. Everyone would bring people to me. I'd sign anyone. 90% of them, they sat face to face with me. But the person I was signing is in their mind being like, this is the right fit for me, but oh my God, I'm not doing what he does. And I didn't realize it. It was feeding my ego. I felt good. I was getting them signed, but I was stunting my growth. So I recruited 125 people that year. Almost all of them were mine. It was stupid. I would have been in the thousands if I would have had a system and a tool and taken myself out of it. And that's what this is all about. Yes, sir.
Do you ever ask for the second best social? Just kidding. The question I have is this. You know, Brian's extremely busy. You knew that you had to qualify for Brian's time.
Oh, I love it.
Talk about doing that.
Yeah. So, whatever Brian saw of me that first couple of days, probably because I rank advanced in 24 hours or whatever, and I was, like, blowing his phone up. We had two or three luncheons that first week, and, I mean, we just ran, like, really, really ran. I think at the end of the first month, we were 40 recruits or something. It was crazy. And I didn't even... Here's the thing Brian did really well. He hid me from everyone else, and he says this on stage, and it makes me feel so awkward. People hate me for it. But he was smart because I wasn't in a place where I heard someone else's limiting beliefs. By the way, Brian never... I never knew 40 people in a month was good. We thought we were just running time doing this. We had no idea, right? And I forgot where I was going to go with that. Brian's time. So I also knew, and I didn't even know the who Brian was until January of that year. So we're 2 months in. I won a recruiting contest for Team Pinnacle. He took me down to Grant Cardone in Miami, which is a big Grant guy. I love all his books. We're down there. We have some, like, platinum VIP seats. I don't even know how much they cost and what mortgage you pay. I don't even know. Like, it was ridiculous. It was awesome. So we're down there, and I think Brian's Brian. I don't know who he is. I've never been here, right? So we're hanging out. We're backstage. If you're VIP, you had like a special behind the stage. You ate lunch. And at the end of the first day, I had the opportunity to take a picture with Grant Cardone. I'm sitting back there. I was like, Brian, we got to get a picture, man. Like, Grant's a big fan of mine. Read every book. My license plate, Grant's Cardone, is Grant Cardone. He's like, no, we're good, man. I was like, okay, whatever. Right? So we're sitting there. True story. If I wasn't there, I would not believe this. Someone walks up behind us, puts Brian in a headlock, like a sleeper. I look up. It's Grant Cardone. I'm going, oh, my gosh. And he goes, you know, Grant, I'm not using the language he uses either. He goes, get up, boy, we're going to take a picture. He's like, I ain't waiting in line for nothing. You take a picture with me. And he goes, okay, fine. I'm going, who am I hanging out with? And then the next 2 days, like, we're walking down the hall, right? You want to get an ego boost, hang out with him. Walking down the hall, I see people who aren't talking to us. They're afraid to even talk to him. They're walking by, like, just like this, taking photos of him in the background. I'm like, what is going on? And to his question, I realized this early. Like, this is the game changer. You don't get opportunities like this. And I know that when you have leadership like that, and there's amazing leaders in this room, guys, they're pulled. I use Hall. He's pulled in so many different directions. If I don't lean in and I don't, like, lock arms with him, where he, like, I want him to know I'm the most important person on his team. And I don't mean that rude to anyone else, but I want him to think that because he's going to give me his time. And so I knew. I said, the minute I stop recruiting, I take my foot off this gas pedal. I'm not mad at him, by the way. He's going to go find someone else like me to go run with. And I use that as my motivation. Once I have it, man, I fired myself up. Once I had someone, I didn't want to lose it. It was a fear of loss. So I would challenge you guys in this room. You want this leadership team's time, man. Lean in and run. And once you get it, never give it up. Never give it up. Can I answer it?
Woo! I can't follow that. So what about those people that we barfed all over in the beginning?
Yep.
And we never asked for the close.
Yeah.
Do we still have the opportunity?
You do. It's harder. I'm big believer, own your mistakes. I know you guys have heard that come out several times today. I'd get them back on the phone, set up a time. Here's the thing, too. So with that example, guys, there's going to be some three-way calls. You don't know the exact time. You're making follow-up calls, right? So what I'll do is I'll text that three-way text. I want to make follow-up calls from 2 to 3 o'clock today. Is anyone around that window? Depending on your leadership team, maybe it needs to be smaller, 2 to 2:30. But give a window. So then I would make those calls. I'd be like, listen, so-and-so, you know, best friend, whatever it is. I made a big mistake 2 months ago, a year ago, and I did something incorrectly, and I want to apologize. What are they going to say? Wait, what? What'd you do? Tone changes. And be like, I didn't know all the information. And this opportunity, this whatever it was, membership, I've seen it help so many people. And I did you a disservice by not presenting it correctly. I want to do this the right way. Can you give me 2 minutes of your time right now? What are they going to say? And merge over. And at this point, your leader, you're going to say on the phone, they haven't watched the video. They watched part of it. I messed up. I threw up. Let us tease it a little bit. Just like the power of the three. I'll get them back to the video. Get them to Tuesday. Get them to Super Saturday for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't give up on it. But own it. Own it. Awesome. Yeah.
Any other questions?
We good? So last question. He had to be last. You guys know that?
No.
It's like the Christmas thing last night.
It's full time?
Yes.
But how much time is actually full time?
Honest answer?
Honest answer.
Oh, man. I really? You son of a gun. I probably spend 2 hours a day. Yeah. I see a lot of people don't, I promise you guys. If you're doing what we just taught, and this is not, I read about it, I'm doing this every single day, I can get my 2 to 5 exposures in, and most days in 30 minutes. Most days. I could go walk downstairs right now, and I'm probably going to, so I can get some people under Dave's team. But just have a simple conversation. It's done in minutes. We overcomplicate it by trying to prepare. We think in our mind it takes so long. Man, I don't have 2 hours to lead you today. There's no way I can do it. Cut out slivers. So it really is about 2 hours. There's some days where it's longer. I do a lot of fast starts or like this. But all in all, I mean, you do 10 three ways a day, whatever your number is, and that, it doesn't take up that many hours. Yeah.
All right. Give him a
cool.
Hand.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And by the way, tad bit on, you know, having someone that's tapped into the real estate industry and done fabulous with it, recruiting brokers and agents. I think we all know someone, whether they're part-time or full-time, that's an agent out there, that just having him today share with us that website that you can go to and utilize that tool, that may be the tool that finds an agent out there that turns into the next, you know, Aaron Browning. I mean, how'd you like to have a tool that you shared with somebody that's in the real estate industry this weekend that 1 year from now added 800 plus new people to your team? And what could that be doing financially for you out there? You just never know where that next seed is going to come. And down in Moab, me, Mr. Sheber, and we were on a 3-day road trip just seeing the national parks and stuff like that. But we always made sure we stayed at a hotel with a hot tub because we knew after being out hiking around and stuff, we wanted to relax every night. And one night we were sitting in the hot tub and another guy from Colorado was in there and he was a real estate agent. And it was just really cool to watch him talk the real estate lingo and just kind of work it and stuff like that and build up the value on ways he's used it and other agents have used it and stuff like that. And funny things, we haven't even said what the price is yet. He's just talking about all the value that he's used it for and everything. And we get to that part where it's time to talk about the value, the price. And I said, it's only $24.95 a month. He goes, only $2,495 a month. Huh? True?
True.
Only $2,495 a month. He had built up so much stinking value that this guy's perception of what this really cost was only $2,495 a month. Talk about having an awesome sidekick to just watch him work the realtor market and build up that value. Absolutely amazing experience. But we have a little gift for you. Come over here, Mr. Brownie. I'm going to put the mic down so that I can talk. This is a coffee table book.
Awesome.
For when you go home. And this, does that look familiar?
It does, man.
At all.
I can enjoy it a little more now.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Browning stood right.
Why didn't we hike there? Yeah.
By the way, show everybody where you stood.
I went clear over here inside the arch, and he stood over here and took a picture of me.
That picture is so
deceptive.
Yeah. Really, this was like a mountain. He wouldn't be here.
Like,
today.
It's a big bowl, but it's real steep sandstone, and if you fall, you're going to fall a long, long ways down here or off the back edge. So they probably don't encourage you to like go over here. Yeah. But I have to get a photo.
Oh, we got
a photo.
Oh, did it really? So, yeah. Wow. That was crazy.
What? Did he make it up?
No, he died. No. Well, so he made it halfway. Remember he got behind? And then he lost the leader. And he literally got off track. We see him up there. It's crazy. I don't even know how far you were away. 500 yards? We were talking. It was tiny. Like, we're talking on this mountain. He could hear us. I thought it was crazy.
So he was back. Sheeber was back here looking at this edge of the arch.
He goes,
down here. And we're standing over here, so we're looking at the
arch. He goes, where's the arch? I'm like, what?
You guys see the arch. So I'm like, no, can't see. And I don't realize the angle that he's at, he can't see it.
Hey, Dave said you're looking at the side of it. I walked over. I didn't walk up to where they were because I was like, I ain't going up there. I walked over to the side. I actually took some pictures of you standing in the yard.
Yeah. All right. So, but this is just. The leaders in the state and other associates have put some kind words thanking you for coming here and your time pouring into
that
us.
That is awesome.
And then in here is just tons of pictures of beautiful. Other places that we just didn't have time to go. That is what that Buckskin Gulch looks
that
like.
That had a river going through it?
Yeah, that we were trying to go up. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Looks like. All the different places. So when you come back in the future, maybe even with your whole family.
Love to.
We will take you out to show you a lot more of the cool places.
Maybe on a four-wheeler. Yeah. I like where your
headset. Take out four-wheelers and you never even need to hike.
I appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
So show your family that.
Thank you so much, brother.
Share with them our love for allowing you to come out here.
I appreciate it.
Give it up one more time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, he's got to run.